ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय In the 14th chapter of the 6th canto, we have seen Chitraketu's story, how he was morose because of not having a son. And Angira Muni came, he asked about his welfare and the reason for his distress. Then he performed a sacrifice so that Chitraketu can get a son. And he also warned him that this son will be the cause of jubilation and lamentation, both. And Chitraketu thought that, oh, he may be more qualified than me, or he may be disobedient, that's why there could be some distress. So, but having a disobedient son is better than having no son. He was happy. So his wife became pregnant, and then she gave birth to a child. And Chitraketu's attention towards that wife, Kritadyuti, and the son increased a lot, and he neglected the other wives. He had 1 crore wives, so he was giving more attention to one wife, and remaining wives felt neglected. And out of envy and agitation, they poisoned the child, and the child died. And Chitraketu lamented, and Kritadyuti lamented and blasphemed the providence. And in that context, where everybody was lamenting, Angira and Narada Muni arrived there. So they, because Chitraketu is now in lamentation, deep lamentation, so Narada Muni gave him some philosophical instructions, and later he also made the child get up, come back to life. The dead child come back to life. So one acharya says that Narada Muni himself entered the child and spoke through the child. So he heard a lot of instructions about the temporary relationships in this world, and thus Chitraketu got enlightened. And later Narada Muni initiates Chitraketu with Sankarsana mantra, and by chanting that mantra for 7 days, Chitraketu attains the darshan of Lord Sankarsan, and he offers heartfelt prayers to Sankarsan, and he leaves. Lord Sankarsan leaves, and Chitraketu was made the king of Vidyadhara planet. So that is the subject matter till 16th chapter. Now Chitraketu, as the king of Vidyadhara planet, is wandering. Now we will come to the 17th chapter. Sri Shuka Uvacha Yatashchantar Hito Nantaha तस्यै कृत्वा दिशे नमः विद्याधरश्चित्रकेतुः चचार गगनेचरः.
Srila Shukdev Goswami said, after offering obeisances to the direction from which Ananta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had disappeared, Chitraketu began travelling in outer space as the head of the Vidyadharas.
So Lord Sankarsana, Lord Ananta, gave him darshan, and he left, and Chitraketu started travelling in the outer space as the king of Vidyadhara planet. Salokam Varshalakshanam Avyahata Balendriyah Stuyamano Mahayogi Munibhir Siddhacharanai Kulachalendra Dronishu Nana Sankalpa Siddhishu Reme Vidyadhara Stribhir Gapayan Harimishwaram.
Being praised by great sages and saints and by the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, Charanaloka, Chitraketu, the most powerful mystic yogi, wandered about enjoying life for millions of years. With bodily strength and senses free from deterioration, he travelled within the valleys of Sumeru mountain, which is the place of perfection for various kinds of mystic power. In those valleys, he enjoyed life with the woman of Vidyadhara Loka by chanting the glories of Supreme Lord Hari.
For millions of years, he was wandering about, enjoying life. He was being praised by Stuyamano Mahayogi Munibhi Siddha Charanaihi. Siddhas, Charanas and sages, they were also praising his deeds. So he had full bodily strength, sensual strength, free from deterioration. He travelled in the valleys of Sumeru mountain. Next, Reme Vidyadhara Stribhir. He was enjoying with the ladies of Vidyadhara planet. Reme Vidyadhara Stribhir. And how is he enjoying? Gapayan Harim Ishwaram. What was the enjoyment? It's not sensual enjoyment. It was the enjoyment of glorifying Lord Hari. That was the enjoyment. That was the real enjoyment. So one cannot imitate this. So Vidyadhara ladies are, in the company of Chitraketu, and in the company of ladies he was glorifying Lord Hari. But it may not be possible for a practitioner of bhakti in this world, in this material world, to be in the company of opposite sex and focus on. Gapayan Harimishwaram, that may or may not be possible. Right. So Ramanand Rai, he was training young girls for Jagannath's drama. He was massaging their bodies also, but he was not affected. So similarly, Chitraketu also was not very much affected. So he gave up all vows for various powers which were available there and absorbed in hearing, chanting and glorifying the qualities of the Lord. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. So we see that Chitraketu was blessed with lot of opulence. He became the king of Vidyadharas and he had an airplane with which he can travel wherever he wants in the valleys of Mount Sumeru, like that he was traveling. And he is ruling for millions of years. What was mentioned here? Sa laksham varsha lakshanam. Varsha lakshanam means laksha is 100,000, 1 lakh. Then varsha lakshanam, hundreds of thousands of years, right? It's a very millions of years. It's very long life. So Chitraketu was bestowed with so much opulence and long life. So Prachetas also were bestowed with lot of long life, then physical strength, material opulence, etc., etc., by the Lord Himself. And they utilized it in Krishna's service. They were never distracted. Similarly, Swayambhumanu also got lot of opulence, but he was not distracted by that opulence, but they were engaging all this opulence in Krishna's service. Although he became the king of Vidyadhara planet, Chitraketu was not enjoying with the Vidyadhara ladies like a materialistic person. He was enjoying with them by glorifying Lord Hari. So, yeah, whatever may be the position of a devotee, whether it is an opulent position or a poverty-stricken position, whatever may be the condition, he focuses on Krishna consciousness. He focuses on service. Right? So, devotee is not ultimately interested in this wealth and opulence. He is interested in bhakti of the Lord, glorifying the Lord, serving the Lord. So devotee does not even aspire for four kinds of personal liberation. The other day we were discussing salokya, sarishti, samipya, sarukya, aikatvam apyuta, diyamanam nagrihananti, vinamat sevanam janaha. If there is no seva, they cannot accept even the personal liberation, salokya, sarishti. Because all these opulences are there. How can I accept the same form as the Lord? How can I accept the same opulences as the Lord? How can I live in the same planet as the Lord? How can I live so close to the Lord? These are all very privileged facilities. If there is a seva, I can accept these facilities. If there is no seva, what is the point? So he is focused on the service. So similarly, Chitraketu also, he was not distracted by these opulences. He was only glorifying Lord Hari. So, in devotional service, we are tested for consistency in failures. And in devotional service, we are also tested for humility in success. When there are failures, we can't consistently perform bhakti. There will be some distraction, doubts, some reverses are there. Our consistency is lost, right? Faith may be shaken. And when we are successful, the humility may be lost. First, we should have some humility to lose that, lose it. But what I'm saying is, you happen to perform bhakti so nicely, and but because one is carried away by success, one may lose humility also, right? So Prabhupada was both. Prabhupada was facing so many failures in trying to establish Krishna consciousness movement. 4 decades, the first volume of Lilamrita describes what all Prabhupada went through to establish an international movement, his struggles. So apparently they were all failures. He was struggling alone, but he was consistent in his efforts, right? His determination did not go low. He was consistent in trying to establish. So finally he succeeded. After he became succeeded, again he was not carried away. He was humble enough. He was humble enough to give credit to all the disciples. He was humble enough to give credit to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, like that. So consistency and humility are needed at all times. So they are challenged when success and failure comes. So Vidya, initially Chitraketu was a little distracted because of lack of his son. After that, when Narada Muni initiated him and he got darshan of Lord Sankarsana, he was very focused on his devotional service, right? So although he was enjoying the wealth, he was not distracted from hearing and chanting. One who is not contaminated by any material condition, who is a pure devotee engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord, is perfect, Prabhupada says. Fourth verse. Ekadasana vimanena Vishnu dattena bhasvata Girisham dadrishe gachan Paritam siddha charanehi Alingya kirtitam devim Bahuna muni samsadi Uvacha devya srinvantya Jaha sochaista dantike.
One time while King Chitraketu was travelling in outer space on a brilliantly effulgent airplane given to him by Lord Vishnu, he saw Lord Shiva surrounded by Siddhas and Charanas. Lord Shiva was sitting in assembly of great saintly persons and embracing Parvati on his lap with his arm. Chitraketu laughed loudly and spoke within the hearing of Parvati.
Ekada sa vimanena Vishnu dattena bhasvata. Ekada, one day, one time. So he was traveling on his airplane, vimanena, Vishnu dattena. Who gave him that vimana? Vishnu only gave. Then Girisham dadrishe gachan. He saw Girisha. He saw Lord Shiva. Paritam siddha charanai. He was in the assembly of so many siddhas and charanas, so many sages. Then what was his attire? Alingya ankikritam devim. Alingya, he was embracing ankikritam by making his devi Parvati sit on his lap. Ankikritam means sitting on ankasima, on the lap. So he was embracing. Bahuna muni samsadi. So bahuna. So he was embracing his wife who is sitting on his lap with his arm. So muni samsadi, in the presence of so many munis, so many sages are there. So then seeing this, Chitraketu wanted to say something. Uvacha devyaha srinvantya. Uvacha, Chitraketu started speaking in the hearing of Devi, Parvati. So while Parvati was hearing, he started speaking. Right? Jahasa uchaistadantike. Jahasa uchaihi. Uchaihi means very loudly he spoke. Jahasa, he also laughed. He spoke in public while Parvati was hearing. Jahasa, he also laughed. Uchaihi, loudly. Tadantike, in the vicinity. So that was a bold act. Bhaktim భూతిం హరిర్ దత్వా స్వవిచ్ఛేదానుభూతయే. సో ద పర్పోర్ట్ ఈస్ దట్ సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ వాంటెడ్ టు బ్రింగ్ చిత్రకేతు టు వైకుంఠలోక యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ పాసిబుల్. సో నౌ యు ఆర్ సుఖదేవ్ గోస్వామి ఈస్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ ద ఇన్సిడెంట్ వెరీ గ్రాఫికల్లీ విత్ ఆల్ మైన్యూట్ డీటెయిల్స్. ప్రభుపాద్ ఇమీడియట్లీ కిల్స్ ఆల్ సస్పెన్స్ అండ్ రివీల్స్ ద కంక్లూషన్ రైట్ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద చాప్టర్. Because we may not have the patience to read the chapter till the end, so Prabhupada has to take care of the Kali Yuga readers' erratic reading capabilities, right? So Prabhupada is immediately clarifying the purpose so that we don't misunderstand Chitraketu. Now the words, Sukadeva Goswami's words are Uvacha Devyaha Srinvantya Jahasa Uchehi Tadantike. Uvacha, he is hearing, he is speaking while Parvati was hearing him. And Jahasa, he laughed also very loudly and spoke. So Prabhupada immediately clarifies that Lord wanted to bring Chitraketu to Vaikunthaloka as early as possible. So many millions of years he is just becoming the king of Vidyadhara planets and then traveling in airplane and taking care of all the other responsibilities. I want him here. So Krishna wanted, Lord Sankarsana wanted Chitraketu in Vaikuntha, not in Vidyadhara planet, right? So Chitraketu has to be cursed by Parvati for laughing loudly at Shiva. Although it is natural for a husband to embrace his wife, generally, they don't do that in public, especially when they are sitting in the midst of some saintly people, munis, siddhas, charanas. So that is why Chitraketu laughed out of concern. So what will happen in this way, in this chapter is Chitraketu, because of laughing loudly, he will be cursed by Parvati and he will become Vritrasura and he will participate in one fight and he will immediately go back to Godhead. That is Krishna's plan. And by orchestrating this incident, Krishna gave a lot of lessons through the behavior of Chitraketu, through the exemplary lessons given by Shiva to Parvati, and also through the fight with Indra as Vritrasura, and also through the exemplary prayers offered by Vritrasura to the Supreme Lord on the battlefield. So like that, he orchestrated an incident that must have happened for a very short amount of time. But through that, we got so many lessons that we are describing, that we are discussing for last few classes. So that's why Krishna wanted to give some lessons to us, and Krishna also wanted to bring Chitraketu back to Godhead. That's why he's orchestrating this incident. So many instances are there where a devotee acts like a demon, and he was brought to the kingdom of God by the mercy of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, he was playing the role of a person in demoniac dynasty. Bali Maharaj, he was also in the demoniac dynasty. But they were all great devotees. Chitraketu Ruvacha Esha Loka Guru Sakshad Dharmam Vakta Sharirinam Aste Mukhyah Sabhayam Vai Mithuni Bhuya Bharyaya. Chitraketu, so he's saying, Esha Loka Guru Sakshat. So he laughed and spoke loudly, but see what he was speaking loudly. First he was glorifying Lord Shiva. He wanted to give a correction or feedback or a suggestion to Shiva, but he was doing it with lot of respect. So Chitraketu did not want to disrespect Shiva. That was never his intention. He was only concerned. Esha Loka Guru Sakshat. You are Loka Guru. You are the spiritual master of all planets. Dharmam Vakta. You are the speaker of religious principles. Sharirinam. Sharirinam means one who is embodied. So you can educate all the people. Then Aste Mukhyaha. Sharirinam Aste Mukhyaha. So you are the most important of all living entities. Sharirinam aste mukhyaha. You are the best of all living entities who have accepted bodies. Then sabhayam vai mithuni bhuya bharyaya. So yet, how wonderful it is that you are embracing your Bharya, your Parvati, in the midst of so many sages. Sabhaya. Sabha means big assembly. So in an assembly, you are embracing your wife publicly. Although you are supposed to be spiritual master of everyone, you are the speaker of religious principles, and you are best of all living entities. Three. In three ways, he glorified him. Before he is saying one point, that how can we embrace like that. Jatadharas tivra tapa brahmavadi sabhapatihi gatahrihi prakrito ankikritya striyam chaste gatahrihi prakrito yatha. Lord, he says, jatadharaha tivra tapaha. Jatadhara means you are having this matted locks of hair. Tivratapa. You are a very austere person, right? Definitely, Shiva cannot be called a sense gratifier. He is so austere. He doesn't even construct a house also. Jatadharaha tivratapa. Then Brahmavadi sabhapatihi. Sabhapati means the president of the assembly. Of whom? Brahmavadis. There are so many followers, strict followers of Vedic principles. And Shiva is the president of that assembly. So, again, in two, three more ways, he glorified Shiva. And he is saying, ankikritya striyam chaste. Ankikritya, how can you make stri, your wife, sit on your lap? Gatahrihi prakrito yatha. Prakrita means a materialistic person, an ordinary conditioned soul. Gatahri means he has given up shame. Only a shameless, ordinary human being would behave like this with his wife in public. How can you do it, Shiva? Right? You are so exalted person. So here Chitraketu's comments or criticism is not offense. Because he never had an offensive intention. So although Chitraketu was criticizing Shiva, he did not offend Shiva like Daksha. Daksha also spoke so many words. In 4th canto, 2nd chapter, you will understand. You have already studied it. Daksha says he is a shameless person. He is a monkey-eyed rascal. Right? He is wandering in crematorium. And he has all ashes. He is not clean at all. He is auspicious in the name only. He is never auspicious. His name and his personality doesn't match. Like that, in various ways he criticizes. So Daksha's criticism was filled with envy, anger and malice. And Chitraketu's criticism is not at all filled with that malice. It was filled with appreciation and a concern. Because when an ordinary person sees Shiva in this kind of attire, he might misunderstand Shiva. He might offend Shiva. So how can someone sit with his wife on his lap in public? In the midst of sages, so many brahmanas, siddhas, charanas, munis are there. In a big assembly, how can he do like that? How can he embrace like that? So people, this causes a lot of confusion in the minds of people. So because it will cause confusion in materialistic people, they will tend to offend you. They will criticize you. If they criticize and offend you, they will get affected. Right? So that will not be good for them. So out of compassion for those people who might criticize Shiva for doing this act, Chitraketu himself criticized Shiva out of great concern. But he forgot that one small point. Shiva is a senior person. How can I boldly correct him? That too in public. Right? So that was... His concern was valid. He had a very valid concern. But the context in which he revealed caused some agitation in Mother Parvati. So we can learn a lot of lessons from this whole incident, but ultimately we should not forget this, that this whole incident is being orchestrated by Lord's will. So both sides we need to see. We need to see the pastime from two viewpoints, learning from the behavior of the characters in this episode, mainly three characters, Shiva, Parvati and Chitraketu. And we can learn what to do, what not to do. At the same time, we need to understand the overall purpose for which this pastime is enacted. Shiva says. He was feeling separation. Another formula will come. Devotee, for devotee, any place is fine. He'll focus on devotional service. But devotee also wants to be with the Lord. And Lord wants to be with the devotee. Here, Lord was feeling separation from Chitraketu. He wanted to bring him to Vaikuntha. So, it's not that a devotee is focused on his devotional service wherever he is. That doesn't mean he is like a Mayavadi or a person who has no emotions at all, whatever you say, it's fine. Right? No, what is happiness? What is distress? Yeah, that is, that detachment is there. Right? But that excitement to be with the Lord, that excitement to serve the Lord personally, that also is there. Right? So devotee has his finer sentiments and finer excitements in his service to Krishna. At the same time, he's detached enough to see situations in an indifferent way when it comes to material circumstances. He's focused on devotional service. But given an opportunity, he also wants to. For example, we are serving you prasadam, right? So 10 items are there. Whatever item comes on your plate, you are happy eating. Ultimately, this is prasad. This is mercy of the Lord. It is filling my belly. Purpose is being served. So that is there. But if you are given the privilege of eating a special sweet like sandesh, like Premanjan Prabhu fed me today, special sweet, you definitely relish it, right? So like that. So both are correct. We can't just be having black and white. He should be happy anywhere. Naraka, sukha, sukha, dukkha, naraka, swarga, anything is fine. He's focused on bhakti. That is true. Definitely true. 100% true. At the same time, having an inclination to be with the Lord, serve the Lord personally, that also is not wrong. Two things. One is, we should get some message. Second is, Chitraketu had a slight tinge of pride, because of which he felt that I can correct Shiva also. I can give. His concern is valid, definitely. But he felt that he is qualified enough to correct Shiva. So that will come. We have not yet reached all those verses where these points are discussed. So Chitraketu had that slight tinge of pride. Krishna wanted to purify him by giving him a super heavy punishment for that small feedback. Through that, he gave us so many lessons. At the same time, the pride of Chitraketu, slight pride, tinge of pride, you can't call it a very heavy pride also, but slight boldness that he had, that was totally gone. Make sense? Prayashaha prakritaschapi Striyam rahasi bibhrati Ayam mahavrata dharo Vibhrati sadasi striyam. So prayasaha prakritaschapi. Prakritaschapi means conditioned souls. Prakritaha, materialistic people. Even those people also, striyam rahasi vibhrati. They embrace their wives in rahasi, solitary place, in a private place, inside the houses or rooms, but not in public. And definitely not when so many people are around. So I am Mahavrata Dharo, and how can such thing be done by a Mahavrata Dhara? Mahavrata Dhara means a great master of austerities. He has done so many vratas. He is a very austere person. He is opening, he is embracing his wife publicly in the midst of so many sages. So Chitraketu, he was not having an offensive mentality. It was not meant to criticize Shiva for his mistake. He was merely expressing his wonder. He was wondering at this astonishing incident. It's very surprising. How can Shiva do like this? It's too surprising for him. Because he was so overwhelmed with that surprise, he very boldly expressed that surprise also. Sometimes we may get astonished or shocked, but expression could be controlled. You cannot control the astonishment, but expression should be controlled. If we don't control the expression, some other expression we have to face. So sometimes it will happen. So Chitraketu also underwent this. So Mahavratadhara means he is a great brahmachari who never falls down. Right? Shiva is counted amongst best of the yogis. So Chitraketu appreciated how Shiva was unaffected even in that situation. Just by expressing his wonder or surprise or astonishment, he was only appreciating Shiva. The very fact that he expressed his wonder shows how exalted Shiva is. Even in that situation also, Lord Shiva is unaffected. My God, it's too astonishing for him. How can some woman is sitting, opposite sex is sitting, it's not like an old lady or a small girl, right? His wife, young, and she was sitting on his lap and he was embracing. He's not at all affected. As if it's like a regular thing, he was sitting like that. So that surprised him, and that only increases the glory of Shiva. Shiva is not affected even in that situation also. Right? He was able to have a philosophical discussion in that position. How can someone have a philosophical discussion while embracing a woman? Right? It's a little too much. And he was discussing with so many sages around. Siddhas, Charanas were sitting, and discussion was going on. Nobody was affected. It's like a very wonderful event. So he was just expressing that wonder merely. So in all these ways he glorified Shiva. Loka Guruhu Dharmam Vakta Sharirinam Aste Mukhyaha Jatadhara Stivratapa Brahmavadi Sabhapati and Mahavratadhara. So in these six ways he glorified. But three times he pointed out what Shiva was doing. See, three verses. In the first verse, where is that verse? Sixth verse he said, Aste Mithuni Bhuya Bharyaya. Right? How can he embrace his wife? First time he said in the sixth verse. Seventh verse again he said, two lines. Anki Kritya Sriyam Chaste Gataharhi Prakrato Yatha. Then third time he criticized again. Right? Bibrati Sadasi Sriyam. Right? Prayasaha Prakritas Chapi Sriyam Rahasi Bibrati. Three lines he dedicated for criticism. In the first verse, one line. Second verse, two lines. Third verse, three lines. Right? So his criticism thing is increasing. Glorification points are little reducing. In the first verse, he said three things. Second verse, he said two things. Third verse, he said one thing. Of course, we are just seeing the Sanskrit here. But overall, if you see, in six ways, he glorified Lord Shiva. And three times, he criticized Shiva. Right? So Chitrake Parva, that was another point that irritated Parvati. Parvati felt that he did not say that once. He said that repeatedly. That was another cause of her anger. When it comes to Parvati's dialogue, we'll discuss more there. Now Parvati is responding to this whole scene in the ninth verse. Sri Shuka Uvacha Bhagavan Apitat Shrutva Prahasyagadha Dhirnrupa Tushnim Babhuva Sadasi Sabhyascha Tadanuvartata Tadavrata. Yeah, read the
Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued. My dear king, after hearing Chitraketu's statement, Lord Shiva, the most powerful personality, whose knowledge is fathomless, simply smiled and remained silent. And all the members of the assembly followed the Lord by not saying anything.
See, that was the whole point. Chitraketu was concerned about it. Probably that was beyond his scope, in Parvati's opinion. But Shiva understood that his point. That discussion will come later. So when great souls are doing something which is apparently objectionable in terms of the regular moral codes, we are no one to question them. Even when someone asks also, we should not choose to give an explanation or whatever. So it's offensive also to just point that out. That was the whole incident is centered around that principle. You cannot point out a superior, senior person, a very exalted person. Teji yasam na doshaya. So, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, how can Krishna dance with so many young girls like that? In the middle of the night. Then Sukadeva Goswami immediately said, Teji yasam na doshaya. So, for such exalted people, there is no dosha, no fault. That will affect an ordinary person, that will never affect Shiva. Right? So the whole concern of Chitraketu is beyond the scope of an ordinary person to question. Right? He is not at all affected. What he does, why he does, it's up to him. Right? We are no one to question it, we are no one to follow it, we cannot imitate him like that. But his concern is other people might misunderstand him. Right? So Chitraketu's purpose in criticizing Shiva, Lord says. So after hearing Chitraketu's statement, Shiva simply smiled and he remained silent. And all the members also followed. If what Chitraketu said was an offensive word, offensive statement, all the people who are sitting there, they would close their ears. They would run away from there. Is it not? When a devotee is offended, the offender should be either avoided, should be killed, should be punished, something, all these things we hear, right? How to deal with an offender of a Vaishnava. But here is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, the best of all Vaishnavas is being criticized. And there are other sages in the assembly, they were keeping quiet. That shows that Chitraketu did not offend. Chitraketu had no offensive mentality. His non-offensive mentality was understood by Shiva properly, so that's why he was smiling, right? And other people also, they did not close their eyes or they would just go away from there. So Shiva was the most exalted Vaishnava, is able to do anything he desires. His external behavior of a common man and not following etiquette cannot diminish his exalted position. It will never diminish. But a common man might follow his examples. Yadyat acharati sreshtaha tatta devetaro janaha. So common man may also criticize Shiva. But one who criticizes, he will have to suffer the consequences. Just like Daksha suffered the consequences. So Shiva does so many things. He goes into crematorium. He puts some ashes on this, on his body. So Daksha pointed out all this and he suffered the consequences. Right? He pointed out all this with malice. So Chitraketu desired that Shiva sees this external behavior so that other people will not misunderstand him or criticize him for what he does. So if one thinks that Vishnu is only perfect personality, whereas his devotees, the demigods like Shiva and others, are inclined to improper social behavior, such a person is an offender. Oh, Vishnu is exalted. Shiva, huh? Shiva is like this. That's the Daksha, that is Daksha's attitude. If you are respecting Vishnu, worshipping Vishnu, his devotees also one should worship. One should respect. That's the message. So Chitraketu's intention is, Shiva is Lord, there is no harm if he does these acts. Other people might offend him, other people might misunderstand him. So for the benefit of the world, he spoke like that. He was thinking that Shiva should not have this infamy. But that was beyond his scope. That's why he was cursed. So considering all this, Chitraketu was somewhat harsh in his behavior with Shiva. Right? Concern may be valid, but the expression of that concern, if it is not done with certain amount of sensitivity, that might cause some, you know, undesirable, you know, result. So Chitraketu's motivations were correct. Yeah.
Common man following Lord Shiva, like, I don't know whether the person is correct. First of all, the ordinary persons are not allowed to enter that area. And this event would not have been recorded if Chitraketu would not have criticized or commented on that. So how come, like, ordinary people may come to know that how Lord Shiva is behaving? Because whoever goes there, like, sages are there, others, all demigods, they know the superiority of Lord Shiva. And the question of common men following Lord Shiva does not come unless and until common men come to know that Lord Shiva does all these things. And from that point of view, I don't know whether this question is relevant or not, but I'm just thinking.
Chitraketu was concerned that common man might misunderstand him. The whole point is about Chitraketu's concern. Whether people will actually come and notice him is a secondary thing. That's a different thing. But he is concerned. If at all someone comes to know about it, he will misunderstand Shiva and he will criticize Shiva and he will be affected because of that criticism. That was his concern. Right? Don't follow. Following is never. See, that's why three things are mentioned: Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. All three should agree with each other. Not only Guru, not only Shastra, not only Sadhu. All three should agree with each other. Now, when a senior person is doing some mistake, definitely the junior person, the subordinate person, he should understand that I should not follow the senior, I should not follow that mistake of the senior. First point. Second point, I should not disrespect that senior because he has done so and so mistake. Third point, I should consider a lesson which is intended for me through this mistake of the senior. What is that? If he is also affected by this mistake, I can also be affected by this mistake at some time. So let me be very careful. Make sense? Don't follow the mistake if you see that as a mistake. Don't disrespect the senior. Three, be careful. Be careful not to get affected by the same mistake. If that can happen to him, that can happen to me also. Example I'll give you. Brahma was running behind Vak, right? And Marichi's sons criticized Brahma. But Marichi and other sages, they did not criticize Brahma. Those who criticized Brahma, they had to take birth as Devaki's sons, killed by Kamsa, and then they had to undergo certain lifetimes, Shatgarbhas. But those who with great sensitivity informed Brahma, Brahma, this is not appropriate for you, you are an exalted person like that, with great sensitivity, without losing respect for Brahma at all, they informed him. And later they offered prayers to the Lord, and finally Lord took over the situation, and then Brahma withdrew himself. Right? So in that context, Prabhupada writes similar things. So all these Marichi and other sages, Brahma's sons, they did not disrespect Brahma for this act. Second, they were not misguided. Because Brahma is doing, it must be bona fide. Running behind one's daughter is bona fide. Right? Because Brahma has done it. So they were not misguided. They saw mistake as a mistake. But they did not offend the person who did that mistake because that person is a very exalted person. He will not be affected by that mistake. Third thing, if Brahma could be distracted, I can also be distracted. Let me be careful. These three are very important points, especially when you see something, some flaw in a senior person. Right? And they are not affected. That's a fact. Because of their experience or spiritual strength, they will not be affected when they do it. But if you do it, you'll be affected. Because Brahmaji was running behind Vak, and he realized, and then he withdrew himself. And what was the thing he did immediately? He created four Vedas. If he had been affected by lust, material lust, how can he create Vedas? How can Vedas emanate from him? Right? If Shiva is affected by making Parvati sit on his lap in the midst of sages, how can he do whatever he is doing? So they are not affected. Understand that they are very exalted. They are not affected by these small things which will affect ordinary people. For example, somebody who has back pain, if he lifts, a big bag, he will get affected. Somebody whose health is so strong, he lifts, 50 kg, he will not be affected. Right? Something like that. Now you tell me. See, if you are in the position of a senior, ideally we should not do that. But if you are in the position of the receiver, junior person, what he, you just consider his instruction based on the merit of the instruction, than getting distracted by what he is actually doing. Right? Otherwise, you just go to someone else who is more inspiring you. Right? And also empathize with the person that he may not be able to follow certain things because of his age or because of his other responsibilities. There could be hundreds of other things. Problem is when we go into judgmental mode. We can, because the Kali Yuga minds are so distracted, they can judge even superiors also. Or he doesn't do this and he tells me to do this. Why he doesn't do this, there could be 100 reasons which we cannot understand. But he is telling me to do this, and is it good for my spiritual life or not? Evaluate that. If it is good for me, let me follow. By following that instruction obediently, I will be progressing. Suggestion is valid, right? Yet sometimes it is difficult when you are seeing something else and then he is speaking something else that creates some kind of disturbance. But give a benefit of doubt that he is unable to follow something because of some reasons, some valid reasons. Give a benefit of doubt and then move ahead. If something is super very distracting you, visibly distracting you, he is purposely doing some mistake and all, if it is bothering you, you can go and express to some other superior in a very sensitive way, in a very, in a private forum, right, in a confidential way. So this is bothering me, how can I not get affected by it? So he may suggest some other solution, right? Makes sense? Totally depends on the specific relationship we are having, the specific issue that is being dealt with, how serious is it. It's totally subjective. We can't give a abstract answer from a distance. This is inconceivable. See, there is criticism there, definitely. Means criticism is what? You are just analyzing someone's points, someone's behavior, right? And he offense means what? It's the mentality. Mentality was not offensive, so in that sense he was not offensive. He has a very good intention, right? At the same time, he kind of criticized his behavior. It's just English only, right? It's an English question, not the principal question. Okay. So, yeah, Shiva thought, I will not become angry at his harsh words, which are beneficial for the world. So now another point is, nobody was pointed out. Nobody pointed out what Chitraketu was, not what Shiva was doing. But Chitraketu pointed out that taking the situation in one's control in front of a superior, that also is an invitation to a disaster. You are in a meeting. 10 people are there. There are some senior people also. And you speak so boldly like that. There is a senior person who is leading the whole meeting. Let him say something. Even if you have something to express genuine concern there, you can definitely express in a humble note. But you trying to lead the whole scene, that might cause some unwanted output, result. So there are so many other exalted souls sitting in the same assembly. They were not speaking anything. And Chitraketu started speaking. Right? Am I the qualified person to do it? So yesterday also I was saying, right, there are 4 points. First, do I have the right intention? Yeah, Chitraketu had the right intention, no problem. But is he the right person? May not be. Because Parvati says that. Right? When so many exalted souls are sitting silently, how can he speak? Right? According to the painting. And Naradmuni was his guru also. Is it the right time? Maybe he could have waited till the meeting ends. After the meeting, he could go. Or is it the right way? He was speaking so loudly in public. May not be the right way. So all these are there. At least the first point is valid. He had a good intention. He has no malice like Daksha. Daksha also criticized, but there was malice. So basically, in an immature stage, the vacho vegam is so high that one becomes too eager to express one's opinions, even in public. Yeah, you may share guhyam akyati prachiti may happen. So that may be okay. But in public one is so eager to express his opinions. That's what Facebook is. That's what all this, what is there, other things? Twitter? WhatsApp? Oh, WhatsApp also, there are some groups, right? There are groups. In groups, someone wants to express his public opinion. He is feeling something. Why you have to put in group? You tell the person who is concerned. You share with your friend if it's bothering you so much. Guhyam akyati prachite karo, at least. But why have to put in group? There are 100 people. Our entire group will see. Because one is so obsessed with his opinion that I have to express this. Whole world should know this opinion. Right? So Chitraketu was expressing his opinion in front of all these people. Yeah, his concern is there. He could have done it in private way. Right? So our genuine concern may be genuine, but if that is expressed in a public forum unnecessarily, especially when some senior people are around, that could create some issue. Now, 10th verse. Now, we are analyzing both Shiva's role and Parvati's role and Chitraketu's role, but we worship all of them. Our humble obeisances to all their lotus feet. Right? We learn lessons from the behavior of all these characters of Bhagavatam without minimizing their exalted position. That's a very important lesson to note down. We are no one to criticize Chitraketu, although we analyze his behavior based on the purports of acharyas and derive lessons for personal application so that our character could be refined. But we are no one to criticize Chitraketu. Ityatadvirya vidushi bhuvane bahva shobhanam. Rushahadevi drishtaya nirjitatma bhimanine.
Not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chitraketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chitraketu.
Iti advirya vudasi, right? Means he could not understand the prowess of Shiva. Definitely he knows the prowess of Shiva. He is glorified in six ways. But the complete understanding of Shiva's prowess was not exhibited in his words. Because if he has completely understood it, he would not have spoken like that. So Chitraketu strongly criticized them. This is the word of Sukadeva Goswami directly. So his statements were not pleasing. Right, bruvane bahu ashobhanam, not pleasing words. Rushaha devi drishtaya, rushaha devi is Parvati. Parvati devi became very distressed, right, very angry, and she spoke. Nirjita abhimanine. So what was the problem with Chitraketu? He thought himself, I am a better controller of my senses than Shiva. Right, there is a tinge of that feeling. He is unable to control his senses. I am able to control my senses more. So there is a slight tinge. It's not that he is exaggerating so much, right? But there is a slight tinge of pride. So Chitraketu never meant to insult Shiva at all. He should not have criticized him, even though the Lord was transgressing some social customs, right? It's not a very acceptable social behavior to embrace wife in public. So again, this verse is only quoted. Teji yasam na doshaya. One who is very powerful should not be understood like that. One who is very powerful should be understood to be faultless and cannot be criticized by ordinary man. So sun evaporates urine everywhere, but he is not affected. So Chitraketu also had a slight tinge of pride, as we discussed, and that was because of having achieved Lord Sankarsana's favor. Because he got the personal darshan of Lord Sankarsana, he was given an airplane, he was made Vidyadhara planet king. So all this slightly increased his pride. Therefore he thought that I can criticize, I can give a feedback to Shiva also. So that extra attention from the Lord or the superiors, the privileged position that one is in, that might make him little callous in his relationship, that he might want to correct or know, give feedback to someone who is superior also. So that tendency he was representing. So this kind of pride in a devotee is never tolerated. So one may, this is a very, this whole path is a very risky path. Risky in the sense it's very dangerous path. Dangerous also, that could be a different word. Walking on a razor's edge. That's the exact word that Prabhupada uses. Yeah, devotional service is good. You have to do a lot of service. You have to progress in devotional service. And while doing all your services, you may be put in different positions and then there could be some privileged facilities given to you. So many things are there, right? You may be made the in charge of some different things, right? So externally the position may be there. But internally that humility has to be maintained. That's a great challenge. When 100 people are worshipping you and respecting you, internally to maintain a mood of humility is really big challenge, right? So when so many people are listening to you, you want to make yourself, you want to make your words, acceptable to anyone and everyone. Just because 100 people are listening to you, 1,000 people need not listen to you. Just because 1,000 people are listening to you, whole world need not listen to you. Right? There should always be a group of people who do not listen to you. Right? So, basically he is superior to definitely few people. That doesn't keep him the supreme person. Right? So he must have attained some maturity or he must have attained some position or power that kept him above few people. That doesn't mean that he is above everyone. There are few people above him also. We cannot forget that. So Chitraketu is definitely a very exalted devotee, right? He is worshipable by many other devotees, but his position is under Shiva. But he thought himself, I can correct Shiva also. I got Lord Sankarsana's favor. So he just kept himself above Shiva and started correcting him. That created a lot of problem. So one's close association with the Lord or Guru or senior people or deities or a affiliation with a popular organization. So all this could induce a feeling of pride in a person. So that has to be very cautiously addressed. So is my association with this exalted person nourishing me on a spiritual plane or increasing my false pride? Definitely, when we come in close contact with exalted devotees or the deities or some other organization, whatever. So, that could be a source of nourishment. At the same time, that rose will come with a thorn. Right? You are so attracted by the red, bright red color, fresh color of the rose, and we may ignore the thorn there. So we have to be extremely careful while holding the rose. If we hold the rose with a lot of enthusiasm and grab it, entire hand can bleed. Make sense? So many people got affected by this pride. Scriptures are giving this beautiful example. Krishna could not tolerate pride even in the gopis, right? So he just disappeared from the Rasalila. They are the most exalted devotees in the entire creation. But Krishna is giving a lesson through that incident also. Similarly, our regular association with senior people or the deities or guru, that should not make us indifferent towards other devotees, and we cannot artificially think that we are more superior than them. You may do wonderful things. You may lift that mountain, no problem. But you are a part of the group. That you understand. Right? We cannot make ourselves artificially keep ourselves on a higher plane than other people. So, at your stage, you are just studying Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a problem there also. Right? I am reading Bhagavatam. I know so much. I read 6 cantos by now. Just in 1 week or 10 days, I'm entering 7th canto. right? In 1 year, I'll finish entire Bhagavatam 12 cantos. He is in the ashram for 10 years. He didn't read even first canto. First canto khatam nahi hua. Out of humility, the senior person may come and say, 10 saal ho gaya mera ashram mein, abhi tak first canto, 16 chapter mein atak gaya. So he may say like that. So what feeling will come inside? 10 saal ho gaya. Main to abhi ashram mein aaya. So mera 6 canto khatam ho gaya. So our Bhurjan Prabhu came. So Bhurjan Prabhu was speaking to the first batch of Vidyapeeth, 2012 batch. So he said, very good. I'm very happy that all of you are studying Bhagavatam so nicely. So this entire study of scriptures should transform into service attitude, submissiveness, and surrender to your spiritual authorities. You have to become ultimately Adidas. He was showing on someone's sweater. A-D-A-D-A-S. You have to become Das. When that Das Bhav is not entering you after studying scriptures, when Boss Bhav is entering after studying of scriptures, something wrong. You didn't get the right understanding of the scripture. Das Bhav. Krishna Dasa Abhimane Yei Ananda Sindhu Koti Brahma Sukhanahi Tara Eka Bindu. The abhiman of being the Das of Krishna can give you unlimited bliss. That millions and millions of times you multiply with Brahmananda, that becomes nothing in front of a drop of this abhiman of being Das. This comes somewhere in the 6th chapter of Adilila, when Kaviraj Goswami was explaining Advaita Tattva. Krishna Dasa Abhimana Yayananda Sindhu Koti Brahma Sukhanahe Tara Eka Bindu. By studying scriptures, we should develop that Dasa Bhav. Then we will get that bliss. If that study of scripture is increasing the pride and we are getting that Boss Bhav, then we are deprived of that bliss that bhakti can give us. Bliss that scripture can give us. Right? So Nirjita Atma Abhimanine Chitraketu thought himself a better controller of senses than Shiva. Actually, it was not correct. Because of these considerations, Mother Parvati was somewhat angry at Chitraketu. So Prabhupada further describes the faults in Chitraketu's behavior. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says, the words were not auspicious because one should not give teachings to the Lord. You cannot correct a superior person. He was considered proud because he spoke fearlessly. Second point, it's not that he was hesitating. Very boldly, loudly, with a laugh he spoke. Very fearless. Right? When one is proud, we speak of others' faults very boldly. Generally, when we are supposed to point out a fault in someone because of responsibility of the situation or because you need to take care of the thing that is happening there, so there should be a lot of hesitation in the mind. We should think twice before doing it. But if one is doing very fearlessly, that could be pride. That's what Acharyas are saying here. So it could be an unavoidable correction. There is a word usage. If you say but, whatever you have said so far is negated. If you say however, you are adding. Prabhu, you are a wonderful person, but... Bas, mar gaya. You are not wonderful. So, but you are wonderful. However, if this also you do, then that adds to your wonder, adds to your glory, like that. So that overconfidence in correcting others and that expression, that could indicate a feeling of pride. So he had a false identity. I have brought Paramatma, Lord Sankarsana, under my control. He was thinking like that. So Parvati didn't become angry because she did not know the intentions of Shiva and the assembly. But she said, I cannot accept these beneficial words because he does not criticize once. He did it many times. Three times we analyzed. No? But Chakravartipada says, many times. So that is the reason for her anger. Okay, once he said it's fine. Three times he's saying. Three we are counting. I don't know in the actual conversation how many times. Chakravarti says many times. So it is false to equate one's experience in service with advancement in devotion. Definitely, Chitraketu attained the favor of Lord Sankarsana, but that doesn't keep himself above Shiva. Shiva is an expansion of Sankarsana. Shiva is a representative of Sankarsana. Who is Sankarsana? The deity of false ego. What did we hear in Rudra Gita? Shiva is also deity of false ego. There are upasya deities, they are functional. Presiding deity and worshipable deity. So both are deities of false ego. How can you exhibit your false ego in front of them? So 11th verse, Parvati is saying, very important. Read, listen very carefully. Sri Parvati Vacha. Ayam kim adhuna loke. Shasta danda dhara prabhu. Asmadvidhanam dushtanam. Nirlajjanam cha viprakrit. So Parvati says, Ayam hi adhuna loke. Shasta danda dhara prabhu. Who is this fellow? He is the Shasta. He is the chastiser of all these people. Dandadhara, he is holding the rod of punishment. Shasta Dandadhara Prabhu. Is he our master? Asmad Vidhanam Dushtanam Nirlajyanam Vipakrat. Right? Is he the person who is supposed to restrain Nirlaj people like us, shameless people like us? She is very much reacting to this. Right? Three times he said, how can he embrace his wife in public? He is publicly saying that very loudly. She got really upset. She said, we are so shameless, and then this fellow has become our chastiser. He is correcting us. He is restraining us. Is he the controller? Who gave him the rod of punishment? Who gave him the charge? Like that she is saying. She is supposed to be the mother. So Chitraketu was speaking about his mother and father. Right? So how can he be so bold? So she became a little upset. Naveda dharmam kila padmayonir na brahma putra bhrugunan naradadyah na vaikumara kapilo manuscha yeno nushedhan tyati vartitam hamram. Parvati says that naveda dharmam kila padmayonir. Padma Yoni is who? Brahma. Brahma forgotten dharma or what? Na Veda dharma. Does he not know dharma? What is dharma? And he is giving us teachings of dharma. First, before giving the correction, we should understand whether we have the adhikar to give correction or not. Am I the right person to give that correction? Do I have the qualification? Do I have certain experience? So he says, Brahma is sitting silently. Na Brahma putra. Brahma's putras are sitting silently. Bhrugu Naradadyaha. Bhrugu is sitting silently. Naradamuni is silent. His guru. His guru is silent and he is speaking. Chitraketu was speaking. Navai Kumaraha. Kumaras are sitting silently. Kapila is sitting silently. Manuscha. Manu is sitting silently. Yeno Nishethati Ativartitam Haram. So how can he try to stop the behavior of Lord Shiva? So this is very surprising to Mother Parvati. A small kid, bachcha, he is coming and correcting us, right? That is a cause of great astonishment. Just like Chitraketu got astonished by seeing the behavior of Shiva and Parvati. Parvati got astonished. Are, how come he is speaking like this? Right? Who is he to speak? So I suppose it to be. She says, I think they have forgotten all the religious principles. Brahma has forgotten. Shiva has forgotten. Brahma Putras have forgotten. Bhrugu, Narada, Kumaras, all these people have forgotten. I think so, because they are not speaking and he is coming and speaking. Right? Looks like they have forgotten. In a very sarcastic way she is speaking. Yesham anudhyeya padabhya yugmam jagadgurum mangala mangalam swayam yah kshatra bandhuho paribhuya surin prashasti dhrit Prashastri Dhrishtaha Tadayam Hi Dandya. Read the translation.
This Chitraketu is the lowest of Kshatriyas, for he has impudently overridden Brahma and the other demigods by insulting Lord Shiva, upon whose lotus feet they always meditate. Lord Shiva is personified religion and the spiritual master of the entire world, and therefore Chitraketu must be punished.
Yesham anudhyaya padabja yugmam. So the padabja, the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, are meditated upon by so many people. Right? Anudhyaya padabja yugmam. Jagadguru mangala mangalam swayam. He is the spiritual master of all planets. So here Chitraketu, what he is doing, although he is a kshatriya, he is like a kshatra bandhu. Yaha kshatra bandhu paribhuya surin. So he is the lowest of kshatriyas. He is a kshatra bandhu. Means he is not a qualified kshatriya. Why? Because he impudently overridden Brahma and other demigods by insulting Shiva. So kshatra bandhu paribhuya surin prashasti drishtaha tadayam hi dandyaha. In front of a senior person, when he is not taking an action, you are taking action, you are actually superseding that senior person. The person who is supposed to correct this person, the person who is supposed to rectify this situation, is keeping silent. And you are taking charge of it. One, you are, by taking charge of that incident in the presence of a superior person, you are affecting yourself and you are insulting that superior person also. Right? So that is very detrimental to one's spiritual progress. All the members of assembly were exalted brahmanas and self-realized souls. But they did not say anything about the conduct of Shiva. And so many people are keeping quiet. How can you open your mouth? So by his constant criticism, he considered the devatas in the assembly to be ignorant. Nobody is speaking. Let me speak. Just like, who is that? Shringi. Shringi said, if Krishna is not there, then Arjuna is not there. Arjuna, I think he didn't say. Krishna is not there. In the absence of Krishna, all these kshatra bandhus are insulting our brahmanas. So when Parikshit Maharaj garlanded Shamikrishi with a dead snake, his son Shringi, who is just a 5-year-old kid, he said that when Krishna is not there, people are behaving like this towards brahmanas. If Krishna is not there, what is the problem? I am there. Right? I will punish these fellows. Right? Just because Krishna is not there, these people cannot behave whimsically. Brahmanas are there, powerful brahmanas are there. And who is the representative of all this brahmana society? Me, 5-year-old kid. I will curse him to die in 7 days. So unnecessarily one just presents himself or keeps himself in a more exalted position than he actually deserves. He unnecessarily becomes the representative of entire community and then starts speaking things. Doing things whimsically. Basically, he is imposing his mental agitation on a circumstance and then he is artificially keeping himself in a position which he is not deserving to be in, and then he is creating a havoc there. When other senior people, Shringi could have gone to his father and said, some complaint. Maybe a senior person is supposed to be reported. But in the presence of a senior person, when a junior person is taking hold of a situation without the necessary authorization, especially when the senior person is observing the whole thing and keeping silence, if he takes hold of it, then he's inviting a disaster. He should get an indication from the senior. You take care of the situation. I'm busy somewhere else. That's a different thing. But senior person is seeing, right? He's witnessing the whole thing. He is not expecting you to speak at all. But you speak. Then what will happen? What happened to Chitraketu could happen. So just by expressing one's opinion in front of many exalted people, especially when it is not invited, we are only insulting them. Like Shishupala was there. Shishupala insulted Krishna. So many people approved. Krishna can receive Agra Puja. Unanimously agreed. In the Rajasuya sacrifice that Yudhishthira Maharaj conducted, everyone is happy with Krishna sitting on the throne and receiving Agra Puja. But this one fellow, Shishupala, started criticizing like anything. So by his criticism, he is only insulting all the exalted people sitting there, Bhishma, Drona, then so many sages are there. Some demigods also came there, right? He is insulting all the demigods, kings and sages and exalted Maharathis by expressing his opinion. Who is he in front of all of them? But Shishupala became too bold. Then he had to be beheaded by Krishna. He lost his count also. So by every time he would gently criticize. He will criticize in a very intelligent way. Not gentle, but intelligent. But this time he forgot that count. Even this episode is there. Devayani and Sharmishta. Devayani and Sharmishta, two girls, you know, right? Ninth canto. Devayani was the daughter of Sukracharya. Yayati married her. Then Sharmishta was the daughter of Vrishaparva, demoniac king. So both of them, these girls, and then they went into the lake, they took bath and they came out, and then there was a fight because their clothes got exchanged. Immediately these two girls became the representatives of Kshatriya society and Brahmana society. Devayani would say, your father, the king, Kshatriyas, so he comes to my father and begs blessings from my father. And because my father begs blessing, my father gives blessings to your father, your people are surviving. Otherwise, you are nothing. Right? And then Sharmishta says, your father will come and take charity, donation from my father. Right? If we don't give donations, how you Brahmana people will survive? Like that they were exchanging galleys, left, right, center. Right? So who made her the representative of in a Brahmana community, who made this girl representative of Kshatriya community? And just representing their fathers, they are only spoiling the fame of their fathers. And Sukracharya became so affectionate towards his daughter, and he said, he went to Vrishaparva and said, whatever my daughter says, you should do. That's even more embarrassing for Vrishaparva. He has to go and beg Devayani. Devayani says, your daughter should become my maidservant. See, one ego clash, where it can take you, it's unimaginable. These two girls who are actually friends, innocently taking bath in the lake, after finishing their bath and coming out, they become lifelong enemies. Lifelong enemies. Right? So, the innocence at one context could turn within a moment into lifelong enmity. That's the nature of this world. So unnecessarily they are representing their respective communities, and then on behalf of the community they are claiming certain privileges. How can you touch my clothes? Very cloth only, no? Something, not nothing else, right? So how can you wear my clothes? It's a very big insult. So like that. Next, 14th verse. Nayam arhati vaikuntha पादमूलोपसर्पणम् संभावितमतिस्तब्धः साधुभिः पर्युपासितम्. Now she says, न अयम् अर्हति वैकुंठ पादमूलोपसर्पणम्. Because he had this critical mentality, he is offending an exalted Vaishnava without understanding where he stands. Because he is so puffed up of his achievements. Just in 7 days, he got the darshan of Sankarsana. So many achievements he got. So, he is thinking he is best. So, he does not deserve to approach the shelter of Vishnu's lotus feet. When one is puffed up of his accomplishments, he will lose shelter of the lotus feet of Vishnu. Parvati Uvacha. Na ayam arhati vaikuntha pada moolopasarpanam. So, he says these words. These lotus feet are worshipped by great saintly people. Because he is impudent, thinking himself greatly important, he doesn't deserve. Sambhavita mati stabdaha sadhubhi paryupasitam. So if a devotee thinks that he is very much advanced in devotional service, he is considered puffed up and unfit to sit beneath the shelter of Lord's lotus feet. So pride makes one unfit for shelter. If there is pride, he cannot take shelter, simple. Right? Proud people cannot take shelter. Only humble people can take shelter. The word shelter and the word pride cannot go well with each other. Humility and shelter will go well with each other. They are friends. Right? Ataha papiyasim yonim asurim yahi durmate yatheha bhuyo mahatam nakarta putra kilbisham. Now she says, ataha papi yasim yonim. let this fellow enter into papiyasi yoni. What is that papiyasi yoni? Asura. Let him enter demoniac species. Asurim yahi durmate. This is durmati. Right? He's a very impudent person. His mind is corrupted. Yateha bhuyo mahatam nakarta putra kilbisham. So why she is giving that kind of punishment? So that he does not commit this kind of offenses to other exalted people. Today he gave feedback to Shiva. Tomorrow he will go and give feedback to Brahma. Later he will give feedback to Narada also. Right? To avoid future havoc, immediately she is correcting the son. If one becomes like a mad elephant and commits offenses at the lotus feet of Vaishnava, his entire spiritual career is halted. Halted. Prabhupada is using this word, halted. Because devotional service, once you make certain progress, that is never lost. But it is hidden. You have accumulated, you know, 1 crore money. That is not lost. But the password to retrieve that money is gone. Till the Vaishnava whom you have offended forgives you. Then you get the password, then you can continue from 1 crore plus 1 verse 1. So Parvati, Durga, mother, he justified the punishment to Chitraketu. He was impudent, he criticized the Supreme Father Mahadev, father of living entities conditioned within the material world. A pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others. So I also take so many lessons every year through this episode. It's very important for me. So one should be very careful to engage in one's specific duty, specific service. I mean, you have nothing to do with that service. Why to poke your nose into that service and then criticize people involved there? If it is related to your service, you may have to say something. But if it's not related to your service, why should you do that? He says one should engage in his specific duty. What is the specific duty? Everybody knows. What is his specific duty? In Vidyapeeth, my specific duty is to study and give exams and then attend classes, etc., etc. In some other department, this is my specific duty. In some other department, there is a specific duty. So, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. We try to find faults in others when those faults are existing in us. World is a mirror of our consciousness. So now, Parvati's punishment towards Chitraketu is actually not a punishment. It's a boon. Child does some mischief. Mother will slap the child. Is it a punishment? It is punishment from one angle. From another angle, it's the way mother is trying to correct and train the child. Parvati is the mother. Chitraketu is the child. And she's just correcting. You see it. See the whole incident from that note. So Chitraketu was undoubtedly a Vaishnava. He might have been surprised that Parvati had cursed him. Therefore, Parvati addressed him, Putra, my dear son, become a demon. Right? My dear son. So everyone is son of Durga. She's not an ordinary mother. Daivihi esha gunamayi mamaya duratyaya. So as mother, her job is to rectify the misbehaving children. So actually, she also felt little compassion. First, she cursed. Let him become an asura. Then she realized, I cursed an innocent devotee. Then she said, out of repentance, she said, O son. Just as a mother beats a misbehaving son with her own hand, and naturally she has an affection also, although with her own hand she is beating. To surrender to Krishna means to surrender to his devotees also. For no one can be a proper servant of Krishna unless he is a proper servant of a devotee. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Payacha Keva. So Prabhupada says, Vaishnavas will help us in our progress. Either through correcting us or chastising us or whatever, giving necessary inputs, suggestions. So it is the duty of a mother to chastise her beloved son. Yashoda chastised Damodar. So this punishment was a boon to Chitraketu. It's actually a very great boon, because through this punishment, Chitraketu will be purified of his slight tinges of pride or superiority feelings he might have. He will be purified of that and he will go back to Godhead. That is the whole point. So being born as Vritrasura actually increased Chitraketu's prema. So Chitraketu is definitely a very exalted devotee. But as Vritrasura, he was more spiritually advanced than Chitraketu. So is it a boon or a curse? It's actually a boon. This curse increased his devotional advancement, spiritual advancement. That means it's not a curse, it's a boon. So it is orchestrated by the Supreme Lord himself. Since the devotees at the level of prema do not consider any difference between obtaining the body of a devotee or a demon. Obtaining the body of a devotee or a demon. Body may be demon's body, but the consciousness is devotee's consciousness. So it's actually not a curse. If the consciousness is taken away, the biggest curse is if one loses taste for Krishna Katha. If one loses taste for chanting the holy names of the Lord, glorifying the Lord. If one's service attitude is diminished, that is the biggest curse. But if a curse is intensifying one's love for Krishna, one's service attitude towards Krishna, one's attitude to glorify Krishna, that is not a curse. It is a boon. And Parvati's curse is actually a boon on Chitraketu that intensified his devotional quality. Yes, you had some question. No? That's the whole point. No? Mother Parvati, he got offended. Mother Parvati did not like this bold behavior of Chitraketu. See, the mentality that Chitraketu had was not offensive. He had a genuine intention. But the act that he has committed turned out to be slightly offensive. But whoever has understood the intention of Chitraketu never considered it an offense. But Parvati being the mother, she also wanted to correct the boldness of this child. And Parvati was inspired by the Supreme Lord to do so. And this whole scene was orchestrated by Lord Sankarsana, who inspired Mother Parvati to curse Chitraketu for purifying Chitraketu's slight tinge of pride. 16th verse. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Evam Shaptas Chitraketur. Vimanad Avaruhyasaha. Prasadayam Asasatim. Murdhana Nirmena Bharata. So when Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, he descended from the airplane. After curse, he descended from the airplane. He did not jump. Hey, who are you to curse me? He descended from the airplane gently. Bowed down before her. Namrana. Namrena. Namrena means with great humility he offered obeisances. Who has that humility to offer obeisances to a person who just cursed you? Who chastised you left, right, center? To say sorry requires a lot of humility. Our ego doesn't allow us to say sorry. Now, Chitraketu's behavior, Chitraketu's response to this whole incident is extremely exemplary. Right? And he pleased her completely. Just by this attitude, he pleased her completely. In our conditioned state, every conditioned soul is covered by layers and layers of false ego, thick layers of false ego. As long as these layers of false ego are there, they don't allow us to express the innate humility that a pure soul has. Pure soul is naturally humble. But because of the covering of false ego, that humility is not being expressed. False ego stops us. Don't say sorry. Sorry mat bolo. Sorry kyun bol rahe? Galti uska hai. Tumhara thodi hai. So like that, false ego just constantly dictates us. But a pure devotee who has no false ego, who is very humble, even though the mistake is the other person's, he will go and say sorry. Sorry, because of me, you got agitated. Mistake to uska hai, definitely. But still, he will go and say sorry. I am sorry for causing some agitation in your mind. So that is the nature of great souls. Now, Chitraketu is saying, Chitraketu is very humble. Namrena Bharata, Murdhana Satim Murdhana Namrena Bharata. He bowed down in front of Sati. So actually calamities would bring out good qualities in a devotee. Reversals and difficulties will test our faith, and they are actually our opportunities to take more shelter of Krishna, to become more prayerful, to implement one quality that endears one to Krishna. Bhagavad Gita gives 20 qualities that endear one to Krishna. Which chapter? 12th chapter, right? 13th chapter. 13th or 12th? 12th chapter. I remember it's 12th. Whatever. Maybe. I lost touch. But there are so many qualities that endear one to Krishna. The principle is, in certain circumstance, when we are meeting certain calamity, we have an opportunity to exhibit one quality or exercise one quality or recollect one quality and try to implement, try to use that quality that brings us closer to Krishna. But there are qualities which turn one away from Krishna. In a circumstance, when a reversal comes, if we attract these qualities that repel Krishna away from us, then we are going away from Krishna. If you remember that quality that pleases Krishna, then we are coming closer to Krishna. Thus, every circumstance is an opportunity for us to either come closer to Krishna or to go away from Krishna. Every circumstance will give us that opportunity. It's up to the individual to utilize or misutilize that opportunity. So Chittraketu took full advantage of this opportunity by exhibiting humility. So endurance and no loss of faith in the midst of difficulties makes a devotee glorious in the eyes of everyone. Chittraketu is glorious, simply glorious. So without fire, gold will not shine. You burn the gold in fire, it will shine. You bathe the bangan. Bangan, what is that called? Brinjal is what? In Hindi. Bangan. You bathe it in oil. You boil it in oil. The taste will come out. Right? In their diet, if people's diet has that bangan also, they can relish it nicely. Right? So, if you fry or if you nicely cut it into pieces and boil it in oil at the prescribed temperature, that will increase the taste of a sabji. Gold, you burn it, it will increase, right? So chandan, giso. Then chandan yatra is coming soon, in couple of months. So then fragrance will come out. Similarly, by being more flexible in various circumstances that are coming in our life, we will come closer to Krishna. Without reversals, how can we actually become flexible without difficulties? So this disposition of a devotee in the midst of difficulties is depicted by Chittraketu very wonderfully from 17th verse. Chittraketu ruvacha pratigrihnamite shapam atmano anjalinambike Devair Martyaya Yat Proktam Purvadishtim Hitasyatat. He says, Pratigrihnami Te Shapam. Pratigrihnami, I accept. She cursed and he descended from the airplane, offered obeisances, and first word that came out of his mouth is Pratigrihnami, I accept. After lot of counseling, with great restraint, one may say this, I accept, finally, I have no other way. And even then also he may not accept it. But the first word that is coming out of his mouth is, I accept. Are you ek feedback diya? You told me to become an asura. Is it appropriate? What does your dharmic intelligence say, my dear Parvati? Do you think it is very appropriate? Is it a proportionate punishment? Right? He did not negotiate. No bargaining, right? No complaint at all. Pratigrihnamite shapam, I accept your curse. Atmano anjalina ambike, right? I accept your curse upon me. Anjalina, with folded hands, ambika, oh my dear ambika, Parvati Devi, amba, oh my mother. So devir martyaya yat proktam purvadishtam hi tasya tat. So I do not mind the curse because happiness or distress are given by demigods as a result of one's past deeds. That point he said. Devir martyaya yat proktam purvadishtam hi tasya tat. Purvadishtam. Right? Because of one's past deeds, one will receive. One will receive happiness or distress, and the gods, devatas will decide that. Right? Devatas are orchestrating it. So because of my activities, I must be facing this. I don't mind. I will take the result. So Chitraketu knew that he had not committed any offense to Shiva. Because he never had an offensive mentality only. He had only genuine concern. Yet he was punished. And because he did not intend anything offensive, but it was perceived as offense, and he is punished for it, he understood that this punishment must be ordained by the Supreme Lord. It is Krishna's will that I have to undergo. Some things do not seem logical. How can this happen to this person? How can this be the output of this event? So one may have this kind of questions. When it is inconceivable, we need to understand it is Krishna's will. How can such a heavy punishment come to a very insignificant mistake? It must be Krishna's will. That's what is the understanding. It must be ordained. So Prabhupada gives the qualities of devotees. It's a very elaborate purport with so many principles. He says, devotees are naturally humble and meek. They accept any condition of life as Lord's blessing. Then he quotes Tatyena Kampam Susam Ikshamanam. So he accepts the punishments from anyone as Lord's mercy. So misery is not perceived as misery. Misery is perceived as mercy. So he sees reverses as results of past deeds. He never accuses anyone. No complaint. Because of him, I had to face this. That is not there. So he becomes increasingly attached to the Lord because of his being purified by his suffering. Like that. So Prabhupada also, Chakvartipada says, that devotee is beyond the law of karma. So karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam sagunan samati ityetan kshiyante chasya karmani drishtayavatmanishwari. All these verses acharyas are quoting. One says that devotee is actually beyond this karma business. But devotee understands that only because of my past deeds I experience this. This is a constant theme. Earlier in Bharat Maharaj's episode also, there is one verse in Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 8th chapter. Sukadeva Goswami says, only because of past deeds Bharat Maharaj attained this deer body. But in the purport, it's elaborately described. There is prarabdha karma auspicious and inauspicious. You have studied it. It's quite familiar. So Lord could not be controlled by bhakti if the devotee still had karma. So Lord Sankarsana was controlled by Chitraketu's prema. How can he have karma? Right? So Lord wanted to purify him of some small tendency to be proud. And he brought him back to Godhead. So, one who is under the control of karma cannot control the Lord. So, Vidura was also cursed by Mandukamini and disgraced by Duryodhana. So, in the midst of all these reversals, devotees only will increase their love and affection for the Lord. Tattena kampam sasamikshamano bhunjana eva atmakratam vipakam. So, you all can read that purport as a homework. I will not discuss that purport. So, tattena kampam, that is 10.14.8. You read that purport. Bhagavatam purport. Here Prabhupada writes, devotee's ambition. Devotee never aspires for heavenly planets and liberation, hell, all these are non-different for a devotee. So devotee's ambition of going back to Godhead and remaining a Lord's associate becomes increasingly fervent in his heart, and therefore he does not care about material changes in his life. So here what is Lord's plan for Chitraketu? Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, so Lord Sankarsana inspired Devi Parvati to curse Chitraketu out of affection as a father. To announce the great strength of devotees seeing equally curses, blessings, swarga, liberation and hell. So only if this curse was given by Parvati, Chitraketu's devotional attitude will come out. We are hearing verses 17 till whatever verse that he is speaking. What is the section? See the section? 25. So 17 to 25, these verses reflect the exalted consciousness of Chitraketu. If Parvati had not cursed him, how would we understand the exalted consciousness of a devotee? So to announce the great strength of devotee's equanimity, he is equipoised in his bhakti in the midst of reverses or happiness or whatever. So to announce the strength of the devotee, Lord orchestrated this incident. And to remove the improper life of Chitraketu as leader of Vidyadharas, you are supposed to be with me in Vaikuntha. Why are you unnecessarily being the king of Vidyadhara planet? This doesn't fit. Enough time we have spent there. Come out of that. So Krishna wanted like that. And to increase Chitraketu's hunger for prema by the fire of separation. And to bestow enjoyment of great sweetness of direct service to his lotus feet in Vaikuntha. So Lord wanted Chitraketu to directly render service. That's why he had orchestrated. So Lord had a similar plan for Bharat Maharaj also. So apparently when some devotees are facing certain difficulties, etc., etc., we are no one to judge. We don't know what's happening between them and the Lord. We have seen the case of Bharat Maharaj. We are seeing the case of Chitraketu now. So apparently an animal is not a devotee, apparently. You see some dogs there, right? They are, we may say, hey, dog, animal. But I don't know what's happening between them and Krishna. Apparently a demon is not supposed to be so exalted devotee, right? But Vritrasura is the most exalted devotee. So the external situation in which a devotee is in is only an external detail, as the name suggests. The internal consciousness we don't know, and how much he is connected with Krishna internally is more important than his external situation. Externally, a devotee may be very charismatic, very popular, very well known, etc., etc. Everybody is singing about his glories. That external thing may be there. We cannot say that only such people are devotees. He is not a very well known person. So he may not be a devotee. What to speak of a person who is not very well known or popular? Even an animal could be an exalted devotee. Even a demon could be the most exalted devotee. So external situation is totally different from internal consciousness. Chitraketu's example, Bharat Maharaj's example are a big proof. Dear Bharat is more spiritually advanced than King Bharat. King Bharat is popular as a very exalted devotee in the world. But dear Bharat, who knows? He is not a popular devotee, but he is a more advanced devotee than King Bharat. Jada Bharat, who knows? Except before Raghuna, nobody could understand how exalted Jada Bharat is. Everybody is thinking that he is a mad fellow, dumb fellow, like that. So external situation is different. So bhakti is the inner substance. Externally, 100 things may happen, but the inner substance is totally exclusive to that devotee. Only Krishna knows. So now see, Chitraketu gives such exemplary statements. 18th verse. Samsara chakra etasmin jantur agnana mohitaha bhramyam sukham cha dukham cha bhungte sarvatra sarvada. So one's internal consciousness may not be evident in his behavior, in his external attire. But we cannot be carried away only by externals, right? Internal is more important. See what is the consciousness of Chitraketu. Samsara chakra etasmin. Morning you are memorizing this verse, right? Good. Samsara chakra etasmin. This is the wheel of samsara. Jantur agnana mohitaha. Jantu means a living entity. He is bewildered by agnana, ignorance. So, bewildered by ignorance, what he does? Bhramyam sukham cha dukham cha. He would just wander between various situations that can give him happiness and distress. Bhramyam sukham cha dukham cha bhungte sarvatra sarvada. Sarvatra, always he is going, everywhere he is going, sarvada, always he is just going from one situation to another situation. So, that is the fallacy of a conditioned soul in this material world. So, Prabhupada writes, how to get out of this samsara chakra, karma chakra. So prakrite kriyamanani gunaih karmani sarvasah ahankara vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. People think that I am the karta. Give up this karta mentality, then come out of this karma chakra. If you have this karta mentality, you have to experience karma. So to get free from karma chakra, the wheel of results of one's karma, one should take to bhakti marga. So bhakti marga means identifying Krishna as the doer, not oneself. Right? Next, 19th verse. Naivatmana parashchapi karta syat sukha dukha yoh kartaram manyate trajnam atmanam paramevacha. Naivatma na parashchapi, na eva atma, oneself, parashchapi, or the others. So neither the living entity himself nor the others are responsible for one's happiness or distress. Karta syat sukha dukha yoh. Karta means the doer, the performer, or the cause. Right? So living entity himself is not the cause of his happiness or distress. And others also are not the cause. Kartaram manyate trajna atmanam paramevacha. Only ajna, only because of ignorance, a living entity considers himself to be the cause or others to be the cause. Because of him I am undergoing this distress. Because of my glorious activities, I am experiencing this happiness. So when happiness comes, one attributes credit to oneself. When distress comes, one gives blame to others. So constantly a living entity, a conditioned soul, is identifying the cause of one's happiness and distress. Shifting blame, claiming credit. So this while experiencing happiness and distress. So he is caught up in these two dualities. Shifting blame and claiming credit. Claiming credit for happiness, shifting blame for distress. Right? But Chitraketu says, no one is the cause of your happiness and distress. Neither they nor you. What is that? Avanti Brahman verse. Nayam janome sukha dukkha hetoho. Na devatatma graha kala karma. He says, na devata atma graha kala karma jana. All these people are not at all the causes of my distress. He says, what is the next verse? Manah param eva amananti samsara chakram parivartayet. So manah param karanam amananti. Mana eva. Yes, only mind is the cause for one to just wander in this samsara chakra. Same thing, samsara chakra itasmin jantur ajnana mohita. Samsara chakra is coming there also. So, Prabhupada writes in this purport. From mode of ignorance to adhokshaja platform. In the material world, all the living entities are ajna, ignorant in different degrees. Ignorance in different degrees. Somebody is this much ignorant, somebody is that much ignorant, somebody is that much ignorant. But everybody is covered with different layers of ignorance. Different layers have different thickness. So he continues strongly in mode of ignorance. So one must promote himself to the stage of goodness through his character and behavior, and then gradually come to transcendental or adhokshaja platform, in which he realizes both his position and others' position. If he realizes his position and others' position, he doesn't blame others nor claim credit for oneself. Guna pravaha etasmin kashyapah konvanugraha kasvargo narakah kova kim sukham dukham eva va. He says, guna pravaha etasmin. This is just a pravaha, a flow of modes, the current of modes. Whatever is happening in this material world is just a current of modes. Kah shapaha, kon anugraha. What is a curse? What is a blessing? What is happiness? What is distress? What is heaven? What is hell? That's what he says in this verse. Right? So none of these dualities have eternal effect. So why pravaha is mentioned here? Now on the bank of a river you stand and see the pravaha of the river. So many waves are going up and down on the surface of the river. You see, the wave that comes up, that is happiness. That goes down, it is distress. Sinusoidal wave. Comes up happiness, distress, happiness, distress, happiness, distress. So you see one point on the surface of water, a wave comes there, how long it will stay? In the next moment, in the very next moment, you will not see that wave there. It goes somewhere else. The water particle which is there in, at that point in the river is no more there in the next moment. It just goes. It's constantly flowing. The water is not constant there. Now today you see the phone here. If you keep it here, tomorrow, if no labor comes and steals, it is still there. But water flow, water is here. The same water particle will not be here in the next moment. It will go somewhere else. It will go somewhere else. Within a fraction of a moment, that particle will go away. Our happiness and distress is like that. The water wave. Neither the happiness is permanent. The wave cannot stand up, cannot stay high, right? Forever. The wave which goes low cannot also stay low forever. You can't stay high forever, you can't stay low forever. It is constantly changing. It is guna pravaha etasmin, kashyapaha, konvanugraha. So the curse, the blessing, both do not have any material, any eternal effect, permanent effect. They are temporary. Right? Dualities. They are all dualities. Happiness, distress, hell, heaven. They are all dualities. So we should understand this fact and develop detachment in our interactions with the objects and people in this world on a material plane. Whatever is done in devotional service, it has an eternal effect. It's going into the eternal bank account. Somebody has sent some wallpaper. Somebody is chanting like this. And whatever mantra accounting, that's going into bank. He wrote somewhere, eternal bank account, something like that. Some cartoon. That whatever devotional progress you have made, that's going into eternal bank account. But whatever happiness, distress, we are experiencing on a material plane, that has absolutely no permanent effect. It is constantly changing. One should not be carried away by a happy situation or a distressful situation. It just comes. Just witness it. Let the current flow. So if one is constantly in touch with the sound vibration of Bhagavatam, of the holy name, he can stay on the bank of the river and observe these ups and downs of the ripples and not be affected by it. But if one is not in connection with the sound vibration of the shore of the river, if he is just drowning in the river, he is overwhelmed by the ups and downs of the waves. Make sense? If it's up to you whether you want to be in the river or on the shore of the river. A mature devotee is one who stands on the shore of the river and observes. Right? This does not have eternal effect. Things will come, go, like that. But someone who is so absorbed with material consciousness, he is affected by the waves because he is inside the river. Right? There is a lot of difference between being inside the river and standing on the shore of the river. So, the conclusion is come out of the river. So Prabhupada is writing the nature of the material world and the vision of a devotee. Why carried away by waves of modes? Understand that one is an eternal servant of Krishna, then there is no misery. Krishna wants us to give up all other engagements and surrender unto him. If we do so, where will be the cause and effect of material world be? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, being put into the material world means thrown into a mine of salt. In a salt mine, you will get only the taste of salt. You will not get the taste of sandesh and sweet rice or sugar. You will only get the taste of salt. Wherever you scratch, salt will fall. Sugar will not fall. And the salt taste and sugar taste are totally different. Material world means being in salt mine. And you see some lump of salt shining in white, and some other lump of salt may not be shining so white, it's little ash color, something like that. He says, this is good, this is bad. Both are salt only. Happiness, distress. Both are ultimately distress only. Both are salty only. Just because that salt lump is shining very brightly, that doesn't give you the taste of sandes and sweet rice. It has its own flavor, wherever you go. So, one tastes only salt wherever he goes. Material world is full of miseries. So-called temporary happiness of world is also misery. But in ignorance, we cannot understand this. When one comes to his senses, he is no longer concerned with his various conditions of material world, sees no distinction between happiness and distress. Next, I think we'll take a break. 20 verses are over. Verse number 20. Ekasrijati bhutani bhagavanatma mayaya esham bandham cha moksham cha sukham dukkham cha nishkalaha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, unaffected by the conditions of material world. He creates all the conditioned souls by his own personal potency. Because of being contaminated by the material energy, the living entity is put into ignorance and thus into a different condition of bondage. Sometimes by knowledge, the living entity is given liberation. In Sattva-guna and Rajoguna, he is subjected to happiness and distress.
Ekaha srijati bhutani. So the Lord created this universe. Created the jivas, bhutani. Bhagavan atmamaya, by his own energy, potency. Then esham bandham cha moksham cha. So Lord created the living entities, and he only created their bandham also, their moksham also, their sukham also, their dukham also, by his own energy. So he is the one who is creating all these experiences of the living entities, along with the living entities. So Lord's external energy will create the material world, maintains it and annihilates it through these three modes, sattva, guna, raja and tama. It's there in the purport, you can see. And Lord's energy also creates happiness and distress for the conditioned souls, all the dualities. In sattva guna, one experiences happiness. In raja guna, distress. In tamo guna, no sense of what to do, what is right, what is wrong. It's all confusion. So by avidya he creates bondage and by vidya he gives liberation. But Lord is devoid of all these dualities. He is not affected. He is nishkalaha. He is not at all affected. So the Lord then favors some jivas and then hates others jivas. That could be the argument given by someone. Oh, then Lord is creating sukham and dukham. Some people are getting sukham. Some people are getting dukham. That means Lord is partial or what? Right? So next, 22nd verse. Chitraketu says, Natasya kaschit dayita pratipo Nagnati bandhur naparo nachasva Samasya sarvatra niranjanasya Sukhena ragaha kuta eva roshaha Natasya kaschit dayita pratipo. So, he has no one who is dear to him or inimical towards him. So, nobody is his enemy, nobody is his friend. Natasya kaschit dayitaha pratipaha. Dayita is dear, pratipaha is not dear. Na gnati bandhur, he has no friend, no relative. Na paro na chasva, he has no conception of it's mine, it's others. It's separate from me, it is with me. So, he doesn't have these conceptions. Samasya sarvatra niranjanasya. He is equal everywhere and he is niranjan. Niranjan means he is unaffected by material nature. Sukhena ragaha kuta eva roshaha. He had no attachment for sukha. Then where is the question of rosha, anger? When such a person who is totally beyond these dualities, how can he have any anger? He says. So now next question is, if the Lord is equal, then why does he make one person happy and cause grief to others? Next. That is 23rd verse. Tathapi tat shakti visarga esham Sukhaya dukkhaya hita hitaya Bandhaya mokshaya cha mrityu janmanoha. Sharirinam samsritaye vikalpate. So he does it for the continuation of materialistic life. Although he is personally unattached to happiness or distress, according to karma, and although no one is his enemy or favorite, etc., the Lord creates duality, although he is neutral, just to continue this materialistic life. That is how the system is functioning. He has made this system of this material world. He has created his dualities also. It's up to us whether to come into this world or that world. Lord is neutral. He has created a system like that. For example, an electrician created a switch. If you press it like this, light is on. If you press like that, light is gone. Right? So he's not attached to switching on the light or switching off the light. He has created a system. Right? That gives light when you do this. That gives darkness. That creates darkness when you switch it off. He has created a system and he's neutral. He's doing his job. Right? Similarly, Lord also has created this world with full of dualities. It's up to the usage of one's free will that brings one in contact with happiness or distress, not because of Lord's partiality. Lord is neutral. So how the Lord is neutral, Prabhupada explains with so many beautiful analogies. So basically, by all this analysis, Chitraketu, why Chitraketu is speaking all these verses, Lord is neutral karke. So Chitraketu, by presenting this analysis, he is not blaming Parvati. He is not blaming the demigods. He is not blaming Shiva. He is not blaming the Supreme Lord also. He is not blaming anyone for this situation. He says, I deserve this because of my past activities. I will accept this punishment, whatever you want. So although the Lord is ultimate doer of everything, now earlier we understand from various verses that Lord is the ultimate doer. So Lord, although is the ultimate doer, but he is not responsible for happiness, distress, bondage, liberation, etc., etc. So devotees identify that everything is happening because of Krishna's will. Just 4 or 5 days back also we were discussing the same thing. You also asked the question. So Lord is ultimate doer. No problem. There is no doubt about it. But you cannot hold him responsible. He is apratarkyat anirdeshyat. He is beyond your thinking power, beyond your power of logic and reasoning. He is beyond the power of your words also. You cannot express him. He is independent and he is neutral also. Ultimate cause of everything is he only, but you cannot hold him responsible for anything because his energies are orchestrating everything. And he has created the system in such a way that people experience these dualities depending on their own consciousness, and Krishna will never interfere with the free will, minute independence of the living entities who come in contact with happiness or distress. He created the system. His energies are running the show, right? Creating dualities. And because of the consciousness of the living entity, they are coming in touch with these dualities, right? So Lord is the ultimate cause because he is the creator of the system. He is running the system through his energies. But he is not responsible because he is not directly orchestrating those things. Right? Energies are doing, and that too they are doing because of your consciousness. So you are responsible. Your past activities are responsible. Devotees identify Krishna as the ultimate cause. At the same time, they don't blame Krishna for the distress that they are undergoing. So how the Lord is neutral? So many examples Prabhupada gives. He says, the government has various departments. So government ultimately is the supreme authority, and there are individual departments are there, and different people experience different things, happiness or distress, in terms of their individual judgments. But government is equal to all citizens. For example, a judge is there. By his order, a person is released from the jail or another person is imprisoned. So judge is just neutrally giving that judgment. But it is totally dependent on the person's, good deed or bad deed. Sunshine is there. Sunshine is neutral. So Sunshine is everywhere. But if you close your door, it will not come inside. If you go into a cave, it will not come inside. So it's up to you where you are standing. But sunshine is like that. And sunshine and bee analogy Prabhupada gives, Prabhupada Chakravarti Pad. So lilies open or close because of the sunshine. So bumblebees enjoy or suffer when a bee will go inside the lotus and then experiences the honey there. And when sunshine is gone, the petals will close and bees entrapped inside. It cannot come out. It may die also there. Right? So bee cannot blame the sunshine. Bee cannot blame the lotus. Right? Bee cannot blame the honey. Honey, why so much honey is here only? Why God created so much honey? So it cannot say. So bee went inside. So depending on the timing in which the bee entered there, either it is entrapped or just experiencing the honey. Okay. Therefore, I do not please you just to get free from this curse. He says, 24th verse. Atha prasadayena tvam shapa mokshaya bhamini yanmanyase hyasadhuktam mama tatkshamyatam sati. Beautiful verse. Atha prasadayena tvam. I am not trying to please you so that I get shapa moksha. Shapa mokshaya bhamini. Oh, my dear mother, you have become angry now, but I am not requesting you or trying to please you or pacify you or console you or somehow tempt you so that I get release from this curse. What he says, yan manyasehi asadhuktam, whatever you consider is wrong, let that be wrong. Mama tat kshamyatam sati. Oh, sati, please forgive me for what you consider wrong in my words. I didn't mean anything wrong. I never intended anything wrong. I never wanted to insult Shiva. I never had any malicious intention towards Shiva at all. Like Sati's father. But my dear Sati, if you think something is wrong in my words, please forgive me. Kshamyatam. Yan manyase hi asadhuktam mama tat kshamyatam Sati. Please forgive me. I do not plead to be excused or relieved from this curse. Although what I have said is not wrong, please let whatever you think is wrong be pardoned. May I be forgiven for it. It requires a lot of inner strength to say this. Many times, although we are wrong, we want to justify that we are right. Somehow. Right? When the ego is so thick, we want to justify. How can I be wrong? I am right. And depending on how thick is the ego, to that extent he wants to justify. Now this is not a justification. This is a mood of detachment. I didn't mean anything wrong. He is giving a clarification that actually I didn't mean anything wrong. But that doesn't mean that you have to relieve me from this curse. I am not saying for that purpose. I'm only saying this just to make you aware that I didn't mean anything wrong. But because my words caused some kind of agitation in your mind, I take responsibility for it. I accept this curse and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. He says that. So whether one is right or wrong, that's a secondary thing. Whether my behavior pleased or displeased another Vaishnava is a more important thing than whether I'm right or wrong. If other Vaishnava is displeased, that displeasure will affect this person. One has to take that responsibility for the other person's displeasure. And it's unavoidable. Right? It's unavoidable. Akrura, it's his duty to take Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to Mathura. And Krishna had his approval for it. But Akrura did not take the trouble, take some more time to go and pacify the gopis. My dear gopis, I know it is causing excruciating pain to your hearts. I am coming into your pleasant life, peaceful life, and then taking Krishna away from you. but I am doing it only because of unavoidable circumstances. Please forgive me. If I had said it, then gopis could have been more pleased and then they would have forgiven or whatever. Somehow Akrura did his duty, but he was insensitive, quote unquote, to the feelings of the gopis. So gopis said, you are the cause of our distress. You are Krura, you are not Akrura. So he had to receive that reaction. Right? He had to receive the reaction in Shamantaka episode. He was caught in that conspiracy. Though all these details we'll discuss when 10th canto, 54th, 55th chapter comes. Not now. But one may have to do some duty because of unavoidable circumstances, but he should also be sensitive to other people. A manager has to take certain steps for the proper functioning of the system. But if he identifies, if he notices that somebody is getting affected by this system, he can take one more minute and say, Prabhu, I know you are not liking this system, you are getting inconvenienced by this system, but we need to implement this system, we are sorry. If he takes like one more small step of apologizing or whatever, trying to console the other person and comfort him, then he could be saved from that negative vibes that might come from it. But what he is doing is correct. What he is doing is perfectly correct. He has to implement that system. But somebody is getting affected by it. And it's not practical to say sorry also. So that's why those people are doing a thankless job. You become an attendance in charge. Who is taking care now? Register. Yeah. He has to put A. If someone comes late, if he puts, that is A. If you put, that is B. Right? No? But that's how the system is. You may come like 2 minutes late only. Just 2 minutes late. Yeah, all these considerations are there, but he is following the system and then he's helpless. He doesn't want to displease you, but still he's trying, he's doing it out of unavoidable circumstances. So there is something more subtler than being right and wrong. Being right is right, definitely. But Vaishnavism is beyond being right and wrong. There's something little more, higher. So these are certain subtle things. He said, what I said is not wrong. Right? I never meant anything wrong. But still, because you are displeased, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Right? Please forgive me. That's what he says. And I accept your punishment. Although I am not wrong, I accept your punishment. Right? Not out of his magnanimity. He says, it's my past deeds. I am not holding you responsible for my problem. Right? I will undergo this curse, but you are not responsible for it. My past deeds are responsible for it. But in this circumstance, in this specific circumstance, actually didn't mean anything wrong. So in certain circumstance, one may be wrong or one may not be wrong. But he gets the result in that circumstance as a punishment or reward for his past activities. Getting right? Sometimes we may accumulate some negative feelings towards someone. We may suppress them. At one point, a volcanic eruption will happen. In that particular context, that much reaction is not necessary to show. But still, one may show like that. Because there is a lot of accumulated past negative feelings. Or somebody does something favor, he gives you a glass of water. Right? You just go and embrace him, Prabhu, you know how wonderful you are, and you start glorifying him for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour. So it's not because of that one glass of water. So many months or weeks or years he has been observing you. He has developed a lot of appreciation for you. So this glass of water, that one particular incident has become a medium through which he could express his appreciation for you. Same thing in the negative way also. Whether you express anger or appreciation in certain incident, which may seem to be a very over-exaggerated response to that small event, but that is a result of long, bigger events. Similarly, in this context, one may be innocent. But because of one's past activities, he may receive a bigger punishment in that innocent context. So he is clarifying for this innocent context here, but he is accepting the punishment for the activities he has done earlier. Getting right, it's a very deeper principle. Chitraketu's consciousness, if you just analyze, many of our relationship issues could be solved. Or at least we will be able to deal with these things. Right, when some things happen to us, we can understand things in a proper light. And you will appreciate Chitraketu's words more after reading 15th and 16th chapter. So there are so many teachings that Chitraketu received when that Jantu, that boy, the dead boy came back alive, when Narada Muni spoke, when Angira spoke. There are so many inputs that he received about the temporariness of the relationships in this world. So all that understanding is coming here. When a person speaks now, it's not his current understanding of what he read now. There is a lot of churning and experience that went behind that few words that he's speaking. So Chitraketu is speaking now, there is a lot of realization. Spontaneously, you are just cursing and then a lot of philosophy, wonderful philosophy is just flowing from your mouth. It's not just out of the blue. Lot of training he received from Chitraketu, from Narada Muni, Angira and that boy and his experience as the king of Vidyadhara planet and whatever he has experienced as a king. So all that is coming. It's just a cumulative understanding of various incidents. So here he says, what you consider improper words, let them be improper. And please forgive me for it. Right? Let them be improper, although they are not improper. In this context, clarification for this context, acceptance of punishment because of past activities. Right? And not blaming anyone. Not holding anyone responsible for the difficulty that I am facing. I am only responsible, ultimately. And it's happening by Krishna's will. See the understanding that Bhagavatam is giving us. So, the situations in this world, the calamities in this world, they are unavoidable many times. So, no wonder that a person receives insult or defeat or criticism or failure or difficulties, etc., etc. After all, we are in the material world. We have to receive all this. Right? Where are salt mein mein salt niklega na? Sandesh, barfi, sweet rice, sugar, and what else? Sugar candy. All this will not come out from salt mine. So whatever garb these dualities may present themselves in front of us, they are ultimately salt only. So how we react when our ego is crushed, when one is insulted inappropriately, when efforts are unrecognized, one's integrity is questioned, one's position is minimized, how one reacts, how one responds to it, shows how mature one is. Right, the ultimate understanding of an ideal response is given through the example of Chitraketu. Beautiful example. So during the curse and after the curse, I have no distress or happiness. During the curse or after the curse, there is no happiness, there is no distress. Therefore, being satisfied, do not withdraw the curse. I spoke 8 verses, I could have left. But I came down, bowed down to you, not expecting that you will forgive me. Or not expecting that you will nullify this curse. Right? Just to clarify and then just share my understanding. That's all. I don't want you to nullify my curse. Right? So Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed to die in 7 days. What was his consciousness? Tammopayatam pratiyanta vipra gangacha devi dhrta chitta mishe dvijopa srishtaha kohakaha takshakova Dashaswalam Gayata Vishnu Gatha. Gayata Vishnu Gatha. When a calamity comes, in Parikshit Maharaj's case, he was cursed to die in 7 days for an insignificant offense he has committed by an insignificant boy. Small 5-year-old child cursed him to die in 7 days. The emperor of the world is cursed to die by a small child. What an insulting thing it is. What was Parikshit's consciousness? He said, this is a blessing in disguise. Right? This is a cause of my indifference towards worldly things. I can focus on devotional service. Instead of analyzing who is right, who is wrong, how much one is right, how much one is wrong, one may think that I am more right. I may not be completely right. I am more right than him. Right? There is a lot of comparison. ठीक है मैं ये गलती क्या वही थोड़ा बड़ा गलती क्या वो कौन सा गलती बड़ा है मेरा गलती बड़ा है उसका बड़ा गलती बड़ा है राइट आई एम मोर राइट देन हिम राइट माई रॉन्ग इज लेसर देन हिज रॉन्ग सो दैट काइंड ऑफ कंपैरेटिव एनालिसिस ही वाज नॉट डूइंग सी हिज कॉन्शियसनेस गाय अथा विष्णु गाथा मे गंगा एक्सेप्ट मी मे ऑल दिस सेजेस एक्सेप्ट मी मे विष्णु एक्सेप्ट मी एंड माई ओनली डिजायर इज नॉट टू फाइट फॉर जस्टिस बट just to focus on Krishna Katha. Calamities will never end. The flavor of calamities only is different in this material world. So the only option that we have is divert your attention towards Krishna Katha. In the midst of such a huge calamity, Parikshit Maharaj is diverting his attention to Krishna Katha. Gayatha Vishnu Gatha. If you want more inputs on this, contact Hari Gopal Prabhu. He knows how to take shelter of Hari Katha. Hari Katha is the ultimate solution. Right? That is important. Everything else will change. Right? Everything else is subject to change. Only Hari Katha is worth giving attention to. Calamities will happen. Divert your attention to Krishna Katha. That's what Parikshit Maharaj is teaching us. Right? पुनश्च भूयाद् भगवत्यनन्ते रतिः प्रसंगस्य तदाश्रयेषु सी द एस्पिरेशन इज क्लियर अल्टीमेट अंडरस्टैंडिंग इज क्लियर आई नीड एसोसिएशन ऑफ डिवोटीज आई वांट फ्रेंडली रिलेशनशिप विद अदर लिविंग एंटिटीज आई वांट टेस्ट फॉर कृष्ण कथा आई वांट टू लव कृष्ण दीज आर द परमानेंट थिंग्स कर्सेस ब्लेसिंग्स हैप्पीनेस डिस्ट्रेस स्वर्ग नरक ऑल दिस विल कम एंड गो इट्स नॉट वर्थ गिविंग सो मच ऑफ अटेंशन टू दोज टेम्पररी ड्युअलिटीज दैट आर हैपनिंग गिव मोर अटेंशन टू हरिकथा Krishna Katha, association of devotees, the principle of bhakti, developing love for Krishna. That is more important than this. If we are getting so, we may have to deal with this. We have to deal with dualities, no doubt, as long as we are in this material world. But if we are dealing, we are so absorbed in dealing with dualities, so much so that we get so distracted from Hari Katha, what's the point? We miss the essence. Deal with dualities to the extent you are not distracted from Harikatha, distracted from absorption in Harikatha. Right? That is top priority. Right? So being fully aware of how the results of one's karma occur by laws of nature, Chitraketu did not want to be released from Parvati's curse. Nonetheless, he wanted to satisfy her because although his verdict was natural, she was displeased with him. He see this point, very important point. His verdict was natural. Whatever Chitraketu said about Shiva is a valid, genuine concern. Other people might misunderstand you. This behavior is not generally approved in terms of social and moral codes. Social, you know, behavior. So I am just concerned about that only. But Parvati was displeased. So the validity of your concern is not as important as the pleasure or displeasure of a devotee because of your expression of that concern. The validity or invalidity of your concern is at one level. The pleasure or displeasure that the other devotee is experiencing because of your expression of your concern is more important. That's what this incident is teaching us. Prabhupada is saying, nonetheless, he wanted to satisfy her because although his verdict was natural, she was displeased with him. As a matter of course, Chitraketu begged pardon from Parvati. In that context also, he was giving importance to the feelings of Parvati. Today we will go over time. Okay. When you are affected, self-sympathy is more. Right? You cannot think about others. I am mistreated, right? I am punished. Then how can I think about others? But the exemplary behavior of Chitraketu is that although I am cursed, although he was cursed, he was thinking about the feelings of Parvati. He was not thinking about himself. I accept this curse. It's a result of my past activities. But you are displeased, my mother. because you are displeased, I am coming to pacify you or to pardon you. Not to please you so that you can nullify this curse. There is no personal agenda. There is no selfish agenda in saying all this. Whatever 6-7 verses that Chitraketu said, there is absolutely no personal intention. There is no motivation, no ulterior motive. 7-8 verses he is speaking without any expectation in return. Only expectation is, my dear mother, may you be pleased. I unnecessarily displeased you or caused some agitation in your mind. I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything wrong. Right? I'm not, take things personally. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say sorry, nothing else. Right? I accept your punishment, no problem. That's what he says. So through all these incidents, how Supreme Lord is bringing out the wonderful devotional qualities of devotees, it's unimaginable. Without orchestrating this entire incident, how will we know the glories of Chitraketu? So Krishna is not becoming cruel towards Chitraketu. How can Lord do this to me? That is the question of devotees. But Lord is trying to bring out the most finer attitude of Chitraketu. Without this curse, how will this attitude come out from Chitraketu? Now, in this context, although he was cursed, Chitraketu was giving more importance to the feelings of Parvati. In the context of Parikshit, he was cursed to die in 7 days. He did not go and beg forgiveness from Shamikrishi. Opposite thing. Here, he was cursed by Parvati and he went and begged forgiveness. I'm sorry. But Shamikrishi, when he came in, he passed a message to Parikshit. Parikshit did not go and beg forgiveness from Shamikrishi. Why? Because here Parvati cursed Chitraketu in anger. She was, disturbed by this. He said so many things. Brahma is sitting silent and Kumaras are sitting silent, Narada is sitting silent. Why this fellow is saying this? And is he the person who is appointed to chastise us, shameless people like us? Like that she said in anger. Because she was agitated, she was angry, she was disturbed, she was displeased, he took the responsibility to go and pacify her. And beg forgiveness from her. But Shamikrishi, when he was communicating the curse to Parikshit Maharaj through one of his disciples named Gauramukha, that information was given with lot of regret. Shamikrishi was very regretful. Oh my God, that such a pure devotee is cursed to die in 7 days. I feel so sorry for him. I'm very unhappy. I'm just informing about this curse only so that he can make necessary arrangements. Right? So because the curse was communicated with regret, if Parikshit will go now and beg forgiveness from Shamikrishi, he will feel embarrassed. He's already regretting. On top of it, you go and fall at his feet, he will be more embarrassing to him. I don't want to embarrass the sage anymore. So devotee gives more importance to the hurt that other Vaishnava is experiencing than the hurt that he himself is experiencing. I tolerate this inconvenience, no problem. But he should not be hurt. He should not feel bad. So whether through pacifying or not pacifying, whether by begging forgiveness or not by begging forgiveness, ultimately devotee is concerned about others' feelings. Parikshit was concerned about the feelings of Shamikrishi by not begging forgiveness, and Chitraketu is concerned about the feelings of Parvati by begging forgiveness. What works when? It's subjective. But ultimately, work on the intention, work on the attitude. Attitude is more important. Ultimately, attitude, that intention, will take the highest position. When intention is proper, ultimately everything can be rectified. If in the root intention itself is wrong, however much you try to make up outside, it will not work. It is not sustainable. When the intention is right, there could be some goof-ups here and there in terms of communication, this and that. But things are clear. Ultimately, people will not misunderstand you. His intention is correct. Thoda gadbad kiya hoga, but he didn't do anything with wrong intention, wrong attitude. So refining that attitude is a big responsibility while we are practicing devotional service. Right? where are we? 25. Now, Chitraketu completed his thing. We'll just revise what Chitraketu said. First he said, I accept the curse. He began like that. Then three verses he described the temporariness of this material world. How one transmigrates in this material existence. How dualities have no eternal effect. And no one is the cause of my happiness and distress. Only Lord orchestrates the whole thing. But although Lord orchestrated all this happiness and distress, still he is equal to everyone. And for the continuation of materialistic life only he orchestrated. He created the system. He is not meant to be blamed. So I am not blaming the Lord. I am not blaming you. I am only blaming myself. So please forgive me. That's how he said. Simple thing, but lot of lessons. 26th verse. 25th verse. Read the translation.
Shukdev Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, subduer of the enemy, after Chitraketu satisfied Lord Shiva and his wife Parvati, he boarded his airplane and left as they looked on. When Lord Shiva and Parvati saw that Chitraketu, although in form of the curse, was unafraid, they smiled, being fully astonished by his behavior.
So Shiva, Chitraketu left. Then 26th verse, you read 26th verse.
Thereafter, in the presence of the great sage Narada, the demons, the inhabitants of Siddhalokas, and his personal associates, Lord Shiva, who is most powerful, spoke to his wife Parvati while they all listened.
So Parvati was astonished seeing the response of Chitraketu. So Shiva patiently waited while all this discussion was happening. He did not interrupt when Parvati was cursing. He did not interrupt when Chitraketu was speaking. So he waited. After Chitraketu left, then Shiva started speaking. Just to glorify the attitude of devotees. 27th verse. Shri Rudra Uvacha Drishtavatyasi Sushroni Harer Adbhuta Karmanah Mahatnyam Bhritya Bhrityanam Nishpruhanam Mahatmanam. Beautiful verse. Read.
Lord Shiva said, My dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness.
Drishtavati asi susroni. Susroni means a beautiful woman. Right? Oh, beautiful Parvati. Drishtavati, did you see what? Harer adbhuta karmanaha. Did you see the wonderful, astonishing activities of Lord Hari? Mahatnyam bhritya bhrityanam. Because what is the astonishing activity of Lord Hari here in this context? To exhibit the glories of his devotees. He glorified the devotees by revealing Chitraketu's beautiful attitude in this context. So mahatnyam bhritya bhrityanam nishpruhanam mahatmanah. All his servants are so glorious that they have such wonderful attitude. Nishpruhanam, they are very detached, very renounced. They are Mahatmas. Right? They are great souls. They have no ambitions for sense gratification. So, by calling Parvati Susroni, our Shiva was only trying to compare her beauty with the beauty of devotees. My dear Parvati, you are very beautiful. But the beauty of devotees is much more greater than your beauty. Right? So, they are servants of the Lord. So, what are the Lord's wonderful activities? He exemplified, he showed Chitraketu's wonderful influence that I already said. So, Lord has caused you to be offended and utter a curse. He has shown the greatness of his devotee whose prema did not decrease at all. Immediately, Chitraketu did not blame the Lord, blame Parvati, blame Shiva. Shiva, can't you correct your wife? She's cursing me. She's cursing me for small thing. Chitraketu knows that Shiva did not misunderstand Chitraketu. That's why he was silent. And none of the assembly members also did not misunderstand Chitraketu. When someone misunderstands you, you may take shelter of another devotee who does not misunderstand you and try to seeks him shelter in his solace, his pacification. You may ask, kya hua pata nahi, he got upset with me, but actually this happened, aisa karke. At least you kind of seek some sympathy from someone else who is not misunderstanding you. But Chitraketu did not speak a single word to Shiva. Right? He spoke only to Parvati. He dealt with that and then he left. He was detached. Right? His intention was not to prove Parvati wrong in the eyes of Shiva. His intention was more to please Parvati, who was displeased with him. To care for the emotions or feelings of someone who caused some hurt to you is such an exalted consciousness. To seek shelter in someone else's association for the hurt caused by someone else to me is easier. But higher than that is, on a practical level, we may have to see. We may have to do that. Someone told you something wrong. Someone's words caused a lot of hurt to you. You can go and express to your friend, Prabhu, this has happened. Actually, I didn't mean it. So you may seek some solace. That's good. Encouragement. That's why Vaishnava Sangha is there. But Chitraketu is setting the highest example. It's difficult to follow. You can't imitate great souls. But you can take the example. You can just appreciate. And as much as possible, try to implement also. So you can appreciate the devotional attitude of Chitraketu. He has no complaint attitude. More than getting overwhelmed by the injustice done to him, he is concerned about the displeasure that she was experiencing. And he did not speak a single word about the injustice done to him to Shiva also. Although there are 100 people there who did not misunderstand Chitraketu, he was more concerned about that one person who misunderstood him. And he wants to pacify her. Right? He did not gather supporters. But who considers my mistake as so serious? Right? So many people, please come to me. Please assist me. Right, take up my case. You become my lawyers and have this case. Then Parvati, let her understand my intentions. Oh, no endeavor like that. Right? So Rudra is saying, you are beautiful, but the beauty of devotees is much greater than your beauty. This is by mildly tolerating your curse, he certainly excelled your glory. Now you see, you are angry with someone. Right, you just take fist and then start beating him. Dhar, dhar, dhar. And he says, "Achha lag raha hai, aur maro." Right, I am feeling little body pains, and because you are beating me, the body pains are gone. Aur maro. You are beating him out of gussa, out of anger, but he is experiencing pleasure. So, what is the use of your beating? That will cause you pain, right? I am punishing him. I am just. Relinquishing my anger or whatever, releasing my anger on him, but it's not affecting him at all. So your anger will be pacified to the extent you can cause some harm to him or you can cause some pain to him. If he also feels some pain, then you are pacified. That's the general tendency. But if you express your anger, that doesn't make any difference to him. You get frustrated only, is it not? Same thing is happening here. Parvati, out of great anger, you cursed Chitraketu, but that didn't affect him at all. Right? He says, by tolerating your curse, he certainly excelled your glory of your beauty and your power to curse him. You may have a lot of power to curse him, but your power is useless because he did not take that curse seriously only. So just like so many enemies throw arrows on Krishna in fight, and the arrows have no effect on Krishna, and these fellows are frustrated. So he defeated you. That is the defeat. By accepting defeat, you defeat the other person. Right? Apparently, by all material calculations, Chitraketu was a failure. Chitraketu was humiliated in this incident in front of so many people. Chitraketu was embarrassed. Chitraketu was defeated in this incident from a material outlook. But Chitraketu is the winner. He won the case. Not case, there's no case here, but he was glorified to the maximum possible extent in this entire case. There's a big assembly there. You enter in that assembly and then you express your opinion. And nobody considered your opinion. And on top of it, people chastised you and then chased you away. How will you feel? Just imagine a managerial meeting going on in our own setup here. Right, 10 people are board members are sitting there, and then you went inside and then expressed your opinion. Nobody considered your opinion. On top of it, you got sufficient chastisement and feedback, and then get out. How will you feel? But Chitraketu is successful in exhibiting a devotional attitude. Right? So that chastisement or that curse giving is not at all affecting him. That is tiraskrita, vipralabdha, shapta, kshupta, hata opi. Nasya tat pratikurvanti tat bhaktaha prabhavopihi. That is the glory of a devotee. Even if you kill him, he wouldn't mind. What to speak of cursing him or, you know, beating him or something else. They are quite smaller. So this attitude of being exemplary in awkward circumstances is shown by Chitraketu, Parikshit, Vidura. Vidura was told, get out of my palace. I just leave your breath. Duryodhana told him, get out of my palace, you can't stay here. Your whole life I am giving to this Hastinapur throne, trying to protect you, and you are just checking me out. That he took it positively. Kunti, Pandavas, Sita, Lakshman, Bharat, Ambarish Maharaj, so many people are there. Just by exhibiting their wonderful consciousness in the midst of such unimaginable calamity, they are more glorious than fighting for justice. Right? Lord actually wanted to bring out their devotional qualities in the eyes of all of us. So, if the curse you uttered in anger cannot give the slightest unhappiness to him, then that curse is powerless. Right? It has become useless. Your curse is useless, my dear Parvati, he said. So, you should not treat the great devotees having prema bhakti like this, from this day on. This lesson is hinted. Although it is not told by Shiva, it is understood. Parvati also understood that. Taroarapya sahushnana. So Parvati might naturally have inquired how devotees have become so exalted. We are saying tad bhaktaha prabhavopihi. What did he say? Mahatmyam bhritya bhrityanam nispurhanam mahatmanam. So devotees are so great. These are all Hare Sarbhita Karmana. So our Shiva says how Lord's devotees have become so powerful.
Narayana paras sarve.
This is the reason. They are Narayana para. They are fixed up in Narayana. They have no deviation. Because of their being rooted in their service and in their dedication to Narayana, nothing can affect them.
Narayana para sarve.
Nakutaschana
bibhyati.
Svarga pavarga narakeshu.
Apitulyartha darshinaha.
Such Narayana para devotees, right? Na kutaschana bibhyati, they are totally fearless. Nothing can affect them. Svarga, apavarga, naraka. Whether it is heaven or hell or liberation, tulya artha darshinaha. It's all equal to them. So, Narayana para means one who is simply dependent on Narayana. They do not mind reverses in life because in the service of Narayana, they have learned to tolerate whatever hardships they may be. So following in their footsteps, we need to cultivate that tolerance. Let me try to imbibe this quality of tolerance. They are tolerating when some such severe injustice is done to them. Let me tolerate at my level some things at least. One may say that, Ari, this is a too high-fi example. Such big example, how can we exhibit humility or tolerance at that level? Yeah, definitely, we agree. But at your own level, you can exhibit some tolerance, some humility. Right? Someone said something. Right? It's okay. Let him say. Sun lo, kya jata hai? Right? Just by hearing, nothing will, you will not lose anything. Ne? So by just by hearing someone's chastisement with patience and tolerance, we are giving an opportunity for our ego to reduce, to diminish, and we are giving another opportunity to other devotee to reduce his anger, and ultimately he will only come back to senses. If we also raise the voice, then comes some other problem. It's difficult to work on this level all the time, but as much as possible we need to come to that standard. Right? So Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. they are liberally engaged in Lord's service. They are excellent. Bhritya Bhrityanam, although Chitraketu provided one example of tolerance and excellence, all the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord as eternal servants are glorious. Here we saw only one example, Chitraketu. There are so many examples. If one does not surrender to Narayana, he ends up in dualities. That is the connection to the next verse. Dehinam deha samyogad dvandvanishvara lilaya sukham dukham mritir janma shapo nugraha evacha. So the conversation between Shiva and Parvati or Sati come in different places of Bhagavatam. This is one context. And Shiva and Sati will come in 4th canto, 3rd chapter. Right, Daksha episode. You remember? Then Shiva and Parvati also discuss in Markandeya episode in 12th canto. That is about glories of devotees. And Shiva and Parvati also, that's not a discussion, there's some just taking permission, Halahal episode, 8th canto. Then where else? That's a small thing. Another prominent episode is there, Shiva Parvati discussion. This is 6th canto, 7, 8, 9, 10. Another important episode is there, Shiva Parvati discussion. Next, Maya works under the Lord. Maya Jakshena Prakriti. In this verse, Dehinam Deha Samyoga Dandva Anishvara Leelaya Sukham Dukham Mritir Janma Shapo Anugraha Evacha. You read the translation, we'll discuss. 29th.
Because of the action of the Supreme Lord's external energy, the living entities are conditioned in contact with material bodies. The dualities of happiness and distress, birth and death, curses and favors are natural byproducts of the of this contact in the material world.
So because of actions of Supreme Lord's external energy, living entities are conditioned. So all these dualities are because of Lord's external energy. And that external energy works under the Lord. Mayadhyakshena Prakriti, Prabhupada quotes all these words. Srishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka. So Durga is extremely powerful. She can create, maintain and destroy many universes by the Lord's sweet will. So she is also not acting independently. She is acting under the direction of the Lord. If Durga is not acting independently, how can we act independently? So Prabhupada writes in this purport that devotees are undisturbed in dualities. Because devotees fix their minds on the lotus feet of the Lord and concentrate on the holy name, they do not feel the so-called pains and pleasures caused by the dualities of the world. Avivekakrita pumso hyartha bheda ivatmani gunadosha vikalpascha bhideva srijivatkrita.
As one mistakenly consider a flower garland to be a snake or experiences happiness and distress in a dream, so in the material world, by a lack of careful consideration, we differentiate between happiness and distress, considering one good and the other bad.
So dualities in this world are no better than a dream. One is overwhelmed with happiness and distress, swarga, naraka, sukham, dukham, etc., etc. But they are like a dream. Earlier it was compared to just ripples on river, right? Guna pravaha etasmin, kashyapaha, konvanugraha. Here they are no better than a dream. It's all temporary. So Prabhupada is, the theme of Prabhupada's purport is chant Hare Krishna and be happy even in this material world. If one has a devotional consciousness, then Vishvam Purana Sukhayate. Prabhupada quotes that verse. Kaivalyam narakayate tritisha pura akasha pushpayate durdantendriya kala sarpa patali proktaha damstrayate vishvam purna sukhayate vidhi mahendra adishya kitayate. So for a devotee who is just doing devotional service, this world, which is a place of miseries and dualities, will become a place of pleasure. Right? So dream. Someone who is in dream will enjoy or suffer
certain incidents that are happening in the dream. But if you are awake, whatever things are happening in the dream will not affect. So devotees are those people who are awake to their spiritual consciousness. Materialistic people means they are in the dream, dreamy state of enjoying material planes and pleasures. Mind is the vaya medium in both dreams and wakefulness. And everything created in the mind in terms of sankalpa and vikalpa is called manodharma, mental concoction. Okay, next. So to the extent one is connected with the sound vibration of Bhagavatam or holy name, to that extent he can be aloof from these dualities. Happiness and distress are there. People get overwhelmed by it. So to the extent we have a connection with spiritual sound vibration, to that extent we can be aloof. It's like coming out of dreamy state. How to come out of the dreamy state? Take shelter of sound vibration. So, Vasudeve Bhagavati, Bhaktim Udvahatam Drunam, Jnana Vairagya Viryanam, Nahi Kaschidvya Pashrayaham.
Persons engaged in devotional service to Lord Vasudev, Krishna, have naturally perfect knowledge and detachment from this material world. Hmm. Therefore, such devotees are not interested in the so-called happiness or so-called distress of this material world.
Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhaktim Udvahatam Runam. If one has fixed up attention on Lord Vasudeva, then he is not affected. He is not affected by all these dualities. Because he has knowledge, he has detachment. He has knowledge that it is temporary, he is detached because it is duality. Right? Duality is there, it comes and goes. Why should I be attached to it? Let it, I am detached. And he has that full knowledge. Jnana Vairagya Viryanam Nahi Kaschid Vyapashrayaha. The Prabhupada gives the difference between a Mayavadi and devotee. So devotee has knowledge. He understands the temporary nature of this world. In that sense, this world and the situations happening here are temporary. But Mayavadi, he says everything is false. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Because of devotees' unalloyed devotion, high standard of knowledge, awareness of material world, and thus detachment are automatically manifested in his person without separate endeavor. Okay. Fine. Yeni Aravinda Akshami Mukta Manina Prabhupada quotes. Next. Vasudeva Bhagavati is done. 32. Naham virincho nakumara naradau. Na brahma putra munayah sureshah. Vidamayasya hitamam shakamsha natat swarupam prathakisha manina prathak isha maninaha. Isha maninaha means considering oneself as an independent controller. If one considers oneself as an independent controller, separate from the supreme controller Krishna, whether he is Shiva or Brahma, na aham, na virincho, na kumara, narado, brahmaputra, munayaha, suresha, all these names you understand, right? Whoever he may be, he cannot understand the Lord. Because of having an attitude of being an independent controller, even such great souls also cannot understand the identity of Krishna. Right? So Shiva is teaching us, if you feel yourself independent, then you cannot understand the Lord. So, Advaitam Achyutam Anadi Manantarupam. So, understanding the Lord is needed. And trying to understand the Lord by studying scriptures, trying to attain knowledge about Krishna's qualities, etc., that is definitely a part of devotional service. But one cannot claim to be completely understanding the Lord in and out. That one cannot. One cannot completely understand the Lord. He himself doesn't have. Lord being Ananta has unlimited number of forms. Therefore, how is it possible for an ordinary common man to understand him? Nahiyasya asti priya kaschin. Na priya svaparopiva. Atmavat sarva bhutanam. Sarva bhuta priyo harihim.
He holds no one as very dear and no one as inimical.
Nahi asya asti priyah kaschin. No one is dear. Na apriyah sva paropiva. Na apriya. So there is no one who is not dear to him. Sva paropiva. He is beyond the conceptions of mine and others. Separate identity, alien to him. That all he doesn't have. Atmavat sarvabhutanam sarvabhuta priyohari. He is actually the soul of soul. Atmavat. He is like the soul of all souls. And sarvabhuta priyohari. He is dear to everyone. So this concept will come more elaborately in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, after Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. You can refer to this more. So, intervention of Maya between the Lord and the living entities. Lord, in his second feature, a super soul, as one self is extremely dear, super self of the self is still more dear. So, no one can be enemy of the friendly super self who is equal to everyone. So, relationships of dearness or enmity between the Lord and living entities are due to intervention of illusory energy. So, like that, Prabhupada makes more points. Oh, I think I'll not elaborate more. It's already 120. Tasya chayam mahabhagah. Chitraketuh priyonugah. Sarvatra samadrukshanto. Yaham chaivachyuta priyaham. Mahapurusha tasmanna vismaya karyah. Purusheshu mahatmasu. Mahapurusha bhakteshu. Shanteshu samadarshishu.
This magnanimous Chitraketu is a dear devotee of the Lord. He is equal to all living entities and is free from attachment and hatred. Similarly, I am also very dear to Lord Narayan. Therefore, no one should be astonished to see the activities of the most exalted devotees of Narayan, for they are free from attachment and envy. They are always peaceful and they are equal to everyone.
Here what Shiva is trying to say is, Chitraketu and I are very dear to the Lord. Achyuta Priya. Earlier he says, Sarva Bhuta Priyo Harihi. So Hari is very dear to everyone. So we devotees, myself and Chitraketu, we are dear to the Lord. So we have certain dealings. Just like Chitraketu told that I am enjoying with my wife, I am embracing my wife in public. So similarly, I will also tell him, you are enjoying with Vidyadhara woman there on the airplane. I will also tell him. So this kind of joking things are common amongst devotees. But he has an understanding that I am not doing sense gratification. I also have an understanding that he is not doing sense gratification with Vidyadhara woman. He is just glorifying Hari. That's how the chapter began. Right? So amongst devotees, this kind of exchanges are common. But other people will get bewildered. Right? You should not get astonished, he says. So one should not be astonished by seeing the activities of Lord's devotees. Mahapurusha bhakteshu, who are peaceful, shanteshu, and equal to all, samadarshishu. So, by seeing some intimate exchanges between exalted devotees, one should not bring them to the level of one's own self. Right? Exalted devotees may have certain exchanges. We need not imitate them, we need not judge them. What is the difference? They also have this kind of jokes. Yeah, they are on a different level. And one should also restrain one's feelings in front of public. That's another point we learn from Ramananda Raya and Lord Chaitanya. So finally, the Lord Shiva, gave these kind of instructions to Mother Parvati. So he said, understand the greatness of devotees. They never fear any condition of life. And all these dualities are because of Maya only. So devotees are aloof from these dualities because they have knowledge and detachment because of their devotional service. So if one has independent mentality, he cannot understand the Supreme Lord, although he is Brahma or Shiva or anything like that. Lord is actually affectionate to everyone. He is affectionate to both of us, and we are dear devotees of the Lord, and we have certain exchanges, and you should not misunderstand. That's how he said.
Then Parvati, 36th verse. So hearing this speech by the husband, so Uma gave up her astonishment at the behavior of Chitraketu and became steady in intelligence. So then Chitraketu was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Parvati also in retaliation. Parikshit could have cursed. Chitraketu could have cursed, but both of them did not do anything like that. So to keep quiet when you don't have the ability to fight is easy. Is easy, nahi. There is no other option only. But to keep quiet when you have the ability to retaliate, when you have all power to counter curse, that is a challenge. Daksha cursed Shiva. Nandi cursed Brahmanas. Then Bhrugu cursed Shiva's followers. They are overwhelmed with their abilities to curse and counter curse. But here, although they have ability to curse, still they did not curse. So to restrain is not a small thing. Then 37th verse. Chitraketu was so powerful that he can curse Shiva, but instead of doing so, he humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head. TK, I will not curse. Why should I unnecessarily bother with these people? Let me go. That also was not there. No, not cursing can have so many interpretations. Not cursing means he may not have the ability to curse. Or not cursing could also mean that he thinks that this fellow is not worth cursing also. Right? Why should I unnecessarily bother and waste my time in just cursing? Why should I waste my power? Right? Or not cursing also could mean, not counter cursing could also mean that this curse will not affect me in any ways. Why should I unnecessarily bother? But he is not cursing and he has absolutely no disrespect towards the person who gave that curse. That is the glorious attitude. He is on the topmost level of attitude of not counter cursing. You don't retaliate, but the mood behind not retaliating could be so many things. But he has the highest possible mood. He has a great respect for mother. He called, "My dear mother, you are my mother," he said. "And I respect your feelings. I value for your feelings. I know because of my words you are hurt. Please forgive me for it. I didn't mean anything wrong. I'm just clarifying to you. I'm just reassuring you that I have absolutely no malicious intention or disrespect towards your husband. Because when a husband is criticized, wife is naturally unhappy. Is it not? But here he had no disrespectful attitude. So he reassured Parvati that I have no disrespectful attitude towards your husband. Please don't misunderstand me. Right? I am accepting your curse also. So please be pacified. Please forgive me. 38th verse. This is very much to be appreciated by the standard Vaishnava behavior. Right? Yatavat sadhu lakshanam. This is sadhu lakshanam. You read the purport. Then, being cursed by Durga, the same Chitraketu accepted birth in demonic species of life. He became Vritrasura. Right? When sacrifice was performed by Taksha, Tvashta, he appeared from there. So, he inquired from me about Vritrasura, a great devotee took birth in a demonic family. Thus, I have tried to explain everything about this. Chitraketu was a great devotee. If one hears the story of Chitraketu from a pure devotee, the listener also is freed from the conditional life of material existence. Conditional life of material existence. One who rises from bed early in the morning and recites the history of Chitraketu, controlling his words and mind and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will return home back to Godhead without difficulty. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.